Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 15th day of December, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. And if you will give me just a second here to sort my paperwork out, because my clock, that's normally very trustworthy, today decided to be 10 minutes slow. So anyway, I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Our Leaders Are Psychopaths. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Ambeth. Callers will be welcome later on in the program. We do want to remind you we are in the question and answer mode, which means generally one at a time. Our website is www.pastordan.net. Lots of material being updated there almost on a daily basis. I do recommend you check it as frequently as possible. I just uploaded another 6 books to the recommended reading list based on today's research. Excellent material. I think Yahweh is opening doors, quite a few doors for us at this time. He told us often that greater works than he that we would do. And I believe that's true. Think about it for a second. With the modern platforms that we have, are we not able to reach thousands and thousands of miles across this earth to communicate with each other, share information, educate others, etc., etc.? So, I do apologize for being a little bit out of sync this morning, because I was in such a race to get all of this phenomenal information that was dumped on me from last night till this morning to get this all prepared to present to you folks today. And again, this is not a scripted conference call. None of them are ever scripted. However, I did want to make some notes to help remind me, because of the actual quantity of information that's available. If somebody in the audience could let me know that everything, again, because I'm in such a hurry, that the audio volume and quality is appropriate for today, I'd appreciate it. I'm just checking a few things here. Again, normally I have all this done before I even get online, but due to the clock being 10 minutes off, it sort of hamstrung me just a little bit. I got a quote here, again, before we get into the material. This is Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, or Goethe, I guess it depends on how you want to pronounce it. None are as hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depth of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehoods till wrong looks like right in their eyes. Again, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. How about that? That's exactly what we're talking about. Our leaders today are psychopaths. Okay? Psychopaths. Okay, thank you, Levi. He says that the sound quality is good. Okay, anyway, well, let me get into this here just a little bit. I got a phone number here I don't recognize. I'm just going to check just a second here. Area code 845, you a first-time listener or a regular?
No, I'm kind of a regular, but it's the first time I've actually called in. I spoke to you over email.
Oh, is this Tommy?
Yes, it's Tommy. Yep.
Oh, welcome to the program, Tommy. How are you doing?
Good, man. Good, good, good.
I didn't know if you wanted to talk right now or you want to wait till after I get into the meat of the message a little bit.
Oh, you can get into the message a little bit. I'll be on for a little bit.
Okay. I'll get right back to you then.
Sounds good.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Excellent. Okay. Tommy's going to join us here in just a second. But anyway, I want to get into this material that I put together. But remember that quote as we talk about the fact that our leaders, the people in our government, and even in at the corporate level, okay, what we're going to find out is at the corporate level, in our learning institutions, et cetera, they're all psychopaths, okay? And now, if you're not sure what the word psychopath is, I would suggest you look it up in a good dictionary. Not necessarily the modern ones that have been Judaized, but if you can get a hold of a 1980s to 1990s unabridged Webster's, those are available online. If it's an older document, something written back in the 1800s, I would get the Webster's 1828 dictionary that many people use. I can't remember for sure, but you want to know the meaning of the words at the time the legislation was drafted. Now, why is that important? Because over time words change, sometimes intentionally. Just as Von Goethe here said in his quote, our so-called leaders are psychopaths that have risen to the top. Their job is to feed us falsehood and lies. Now, a typical way for them to do that is to change the meaning of words. A great case in point is income tax. Over a period of time, since this didn't start until just over 100 years ago in America with the fraudulent passing of an amendment, okay, at that time when it was passed, income was understood to be things like interest made on an investment. That's income. That's why in the 16th Amendment, I believe it's the 16th, whatever that amendment was, it states that from whatever source derived, okay, your wages are a source, people. It's as simple as that. We don't need to go into the IRS code. I have a copy of it sitting on my shelf. It's the most boring material we'll ever look at. If you ever have insomnia some night, just grab a IRS code book and start trying to make sense out of it. You'll be asleep within a minute. Okay? Simple change of definition. Today, they've got the sheep believing that everything coming into your household is income because of the word income. It comes in. That's not what it meant in 1913. From whatever source derived. That's how sophistry works. That's how psychopaths work. They are liars and deceivers, and we're going to get into some of the research done by these authors that I have put up on my website, and I sent out by email yesterday. These excellent authors, doctors and PhDs and medical doctors and researchers such as Andrew Lobachevsky, who unfortunately passed away, I believe it was in 2007 or 8, but his work was suppressed for almost 50 years, a Polish gentleman. But he wrote a book called Political Ponerology, P-O-N-E-R-O-L-O-G-Y, Ponerology. This book details what we're going to talk about today. How do you identify psychopaths? Because the psychopaths are running the kakistocracy that we find ourselves in. Remember, kakistocracy is government by the worst elements of your society. Not the best, the worst. And we live in a kakistocracy. The work of these gentlemen will support also something that I highly recommend, If you have not ever listened to his reports, they are on YouTube, at least for the time being. They're also on BitChute. But James Corbett, C-O-R-B-E-T-T, Corbett, James Corbett Report. He did an episode a few years back, episode 90, and it was entitled, "Our Leaders Are Psychopaths." Okay? That is probably one of the best 90, I think it was just an hour long, videos I've ever seen to nail the situation that we've got. Within that interview, or not that interview, but within that report is where he talked about these various books, and in my searching for these books, I found additional books since the time that he put that report together that also support our premise that we are being led by psychopaths. Psychopaths are people who have a mental illness and are prone to sometimes violence, but often lying, cheating, stealing, misrepresenting, etc., etc. They are antisocial. In other words, they have no empathy for you and me. Thank you, Angel, for telling me that the sound is good. So this is very good. And again, praise Yahweh this morning. Praise Yahweh for everything. The fact that I was able to get some new headsets, which are working out so much better, so much more comfortable and better quality. For the fact that John and Matt up in Minnesota, John right here in Miami, and the fact that they donated the material to set up the command center, most of it, some of it I had to get myself, but because of their generosity and their concern, this is truly becoming a command center. So praise Yahweh for those two angels, Angelos, messengers, and for their help in doing that. Let me digress for just a second. I forgot at the top of the program I wanted to say a thank you. Because of the program I did on Wednesday where I was somewhat, I'll be honest, I was pissed off because of something somebody had done. And it got to my goat, got me a little upset. And because of that program, though, I have been contacted by text, by phone, and by email by you, the listeners, this past 4 or 5 days. To the point where it was extremely encouraging. The gentleman from Mississippi who his whole family listens to this program, praise Yahweh for them. The head of the household called me and basically lifted my spirits, so he reversed roles, okay? He let me know that many of you listen to get an uplift. I try to be uplifting because that's just who I am. I trust the Father in all things. But this is a time when I needed to be lifted up, and you, the audience, did that. And praise Yahweh for that. And for those handful of supporters financially that we have out there, you're also a lifesaver because I'm under an assault by elements, let's just say that, elements of this psychopathic group that's running the show. And so all the help that comes in that way is much appreciated. So again, thank you very much to the listeners and for those that lift up this ministry in prayer and in other ways. So again, we have this situation where our country, this cacistocracy, is being run by the very worst elements of our society, and it turns out that they are identifiable. Now, I wrote down a few things here, and I want to share them with you, only because there's just so much of it. If you go to the James Corbett Report, again, episode 90, you'll find most of this material in there. So I want to give him the credit, okay? I did not do all this research myself. Some of it, but not most of it. Because he got me started down the path, which turned into a lot of this other stuff. Now, I'm going to come at it from a biblical approach, obviously, and I believe it's very, very clear that this is biblical in nature. He did not do that. He came from a secular, scientific, medical approach, but the conclusions are the same, actually. So One of the first books is by a doctor who's considered one of the best out there, Robert Hare, Hare, who's a PhD. He wrote a book called Without Conscience, The Disturbing World of the Psychopaths Amongst Us. Okay, who before Dr. Robert Hare told us about this? Yeah, it was a guy about 2,000 years ago called Yahshua. He said, you are sheep out amongst wolves. Didn't he say that? That's why we're to be armed, not only physically armed with weapons, but mentally armed. Remember, be as wise as serpents. Do you think he was talking about snakes out here on the ground? Or do you think he was talking about evil, deceiving men? I'm sending you out amongst wolves and serpents. So be as wise as the serpent, but be as innocent as the dove. What does the dove represent? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father upon us. We're not capable of being psychopaths. We're not capable of it. Psychopathy is an indicator of a sick and deranged individual. Yahweh does not speak to such people. Yahweh, His Holy Spirit, does not minister to such people. They are without hope. That's why Christ spoke in parables. Think about it. The disciples said, why are you teaching us in these strange parables, these little stories? He said, because there are those here who, if they heard it and understood, could be saved from what? Judgment, harm, makes sense. He goes, but they are condemned already. Now, the church world wants you to think that Yeshua came here for everybody, don't they? That's what they teach. And yet, if you read the word for yourself and you put a little thought to it, that's not what it says. Not even close. And when you look at the way the world has turned out, as in these books and during this report, you'll see that it's pretty evident that what Christ warned us about has come to pass. Why? Because our watchmen have been sound asleep. The so-called preachers, the watchmen on the wall, are sound asleep. They didn't warn us. The Catholic Church snuck in there. It's a political organization. It's got nothing to do with Christ. In fact, people say, well, Dan, I don't ever hear you talk about Christmas. Christmas is a pagan holiday. It started with the Catholic Church. Christ wasn't born in December. Why would I celebrate something in December that has to do with Messiah? He wasn't born in December. Might have been conceived around December, but he sure as hell wasn't born in December. Besides that, Christ Mass, that's what Christmas means, by the way, Christ Mass is a Catholic concoction. Okay? The scriptures make it clear that you're not to adorn a tree and worship it. What do children do today? Okay, on Christmas morning, do they get up and say, praise Yahweh? Or do they run for the presidents under the tree? Sorry, I don't want to put a hat pin in your comfort zone, but that's really the basis of it. There's nothing of Christ in this thing we call Christmas. Not today. It's just an excuse to put up ornaments, have a good time, drink eggnog, overeat, overindulge, overspend. The merchants love it. The antichrists love it because it's completely pagan. So I don't participate, and I haven't for quite some time. So anyway, again, everything gets taken off the tracks by deception, and our watchmen have been asleep. And so, therefore, the sheep are literally being pillaged and taken advantage of by these psychopaths. Now, the psychopath himself, by creating this world that we live in, he creates sociopaths. Now, sociopaths are basically proselytes. Doesn't the scripture say that the children of hell, the children of the devil, will proselytize and make us twice the children of hell that they are? Think about it. How many white people, the true Israelite people, act just like devils? In fact, ask Coach Dave Dabamir or any of these people that protest at abortion clinics and things such as that. Who are some of the loudest critics that will try to shut them down. White people. White people. Proselytes that are twice as evil as the Jew is himself. Now, a lot of people say, well, Dan, wait a minute. You're going to tell me the Jews are the psychopaths behind all this? Yeah. Actually, I am going to tell you that. And these doctors and PhDs that I'm going to quote here, if you read between the lines, they're telling you the exact same thing. In fact, I sent a meme out this morning to a couple hundred people of Henry Ford and his quotes about digging down rabbit holes clear back in the early 1900s and finding out it was the same termites eating away at things back in his day that are eating away at our institutions today. The same termites. The same Zionist Bolshevik termites. Okay? How come with all this education, years and years of formal education, how many students have ever heard quotes of one of the greatest minds in America, Henry Ford? Many of you are driving cars that were put together in Ford factories named after Henry Ford. Henry Ford, who came up with the automated assembly line, the reason why you can afford a car, because if it wasn't for assembly line manufacturing, you could not afford a car. You couldn't do it. The average car would probably be about $100,000. But because of cost cutting through the assembly line process, you can actually afford to drive a car. So thank you, Henry Ford. The point of it is, this information's out there, but it is suppressed by the psychopaths. Because what you find out in psychology is the mind of the psychopath has no empathy, no sympathy for you and me, or for the innocent. That's why they can be abortion doctors. They can sell our children into sex slave trade. They can sacrifice them, human sacrifice. They can drink their blood. They can enslave them. They can rape them. They can murder them. They can start wars where millions and millions of innocent souls perish because they are psychopaths. They have no conscience. How many times have we said that on this program? These cretins, these hideous monsters, don't possess a conscience. And now, thanks to Yahweh and these people, I've been shown scientific and medical proof of this statement. So not only does Messiah warn us about this sort of situation, but now science backs it up. Science and psychology, which is, by the way, an invention of a Jew, Sigmund Freud. Now, interestingly enough, Sigmund Freud started the science of psychology and psychiatry to help his fellow Jews who are mentally ill. How many people know that? They're mentally ill. That's why he did that. That's where they are schizophrenic. They are paranoid. All the indications of a psychopath. Dr. Hare, again, H-A-R-E, Dr. Hare puts together a course that's online. I looked at it briefly, where he gives checklists where you can determine psychopaths. And guess what? If you take this checklist into a community, if there's Jews in that community, you're going to check off everything on that checklist. I know because of my 66 years walking this earth, and having worked with Jews, every Jew I ever worked with, that checklist applied to. They're schizophrenic. They're liars. They're deceivers. They are jealous of any positive thing that happens to you because they want it for themselves. But they don't want to have to work for it. I'm going to read a quote where the interview with Lobachevsky, Andrew Lobachevsky, where the interviewer makes this observation. Okay, again, why am I saying this? Because what rather than complicate an issue, why don't we just listen to what Messiah told us that's put into the scriptures by the disciples? Judge them by their fruits. Why is that? Because psychopaths can make anything sound delicious. They can put chocolate around arsenic and have you eat it, knowing full well it will kill you, but they will wrap it in chocolate. They will wrap the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act. Was it actually for national defense? No, it was to strip you of your rights. Was the Patriot Act actually patriotic for you and I? No. Again, stripping us of rights and empowering this cabal that runs this cacistocracy, these psychopaths. Do you see? The problem is that the sheep think that everybody else is like a sheep. Now, according to these researchers, the psychopaths are about 4% of our society. 4%. That means 4 out of 100. So if you just took a random 100 people off the streets, 4 of them are going to be psychopaths. Isn't it interesting that 2%, at least that's what we're told, approximately 2% of our population is Jewish? Well, there's 2 out of 100 psychopaths right there. And most Jews follow the checklist of a sociopath, the ones that I've ever dealt with personally. They follow that to a T. So there's 2 out of 100 just in the Jewish population. Now, where does the other 2% come from? They are psychopaths / sociopaths. In other words, that's a scientific way of saying they are the proselytes of the Jew devil worshiper. They proselytize with their psychotic behavior. They get some of our people to buy into it because our people are lazy, hedonistic. They want material gain. So they see the Jew who has amassed great fortunes by their psychopathic behavior. They themselves want the same thing. And so they're willing to adopt the Judaism of psychopathy to get what they want, becoming twice the children of hell that they are. Hallelujah. This is exactly what these psychologists and researchers are trying to tell us. You have to identify the psychopath among you. You're assuming that out of 100 people, you have 100 people just like us white people. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not racially like us. They're not psychology-wise like us. They're not physiologically like us. Their bodies are different. I learned that when I went through natural health classes from the nurses, and my daughter's a nurse in nursing. They'll tell you, if you give the same medication to different races, you're a fool. Each race has different dosage levels because our physiology is different. And yet the psychopaths want you to believe that we're all the same. Why? Because they want to dominate us. They want us mixed. Because the pure Aryan Israelite man is the greatest threat to these psychopaths. That is why all of this censorship, that is why all of this work is being done to silence us and to put this information beyond our reach. But Yahweh said in Scripture that at the end of the age, all the hidden things would become known. And guess what? That's exactly what is happening. All of this stuff is being revealed right now. Another PhD, Martha Stout, in 2005 is the copyright year. She put out a book called The Sociopath Next Door, The Ruthless Versus the Rest of Us, is the subtitle. The ruthless, you know what ruthless means, I sure hope you do, versus the rest of us. Does that explain what we're talking about here? Absolutely. Absolutely. It is the wolves in sheep's clothing that we were warned about. Where's the watchman out there? Where are these prostitutes who take a paycheck to stand in front of that pulpit on Sunday and pretend that they are the watchman for the sheep? No, they're not. They're Baal priests. What the hell's a Baal priest, Dan? Well, a Baal priest, in the days of Jezebel, the Baal priest's job was to keep the sheep in line, to think that Jezebel and Ahab had a right to rule over them. What's the Baal priest doing in America today and all the Western world today? The Baal priests are telling you, worship the government. Worship Jezebel and Ahab. Even though they're demented psychopaths, you have to worship them. Do you understand what's happening to you? Even Nancy Morgan Hart, with headlines with a voice, last night late, put out a short video basically saying, time's up, people. Your days of sitting on your ass on that fence are over. Do you understand what I'm telling you? There is no more fence to sit on. It reminds me of another book that just fell off of my bookshelf. Didn't literally fall off of it, but it slid over and made a noise. I went over and grabbed it, and I forgot I even have it. It's called The Citizen's Last Stand, Are You Ready? By Jeff L. Wright, Wright. A Paul Prentice, PhD, adjunct scholar with the Ludwig von Mises Institute, had this to say about the book. The Citizen's Last Stand, Are You Ready? Is a must-read for people who wish to return to America's founding principles of limited government, free markets, and private property. As a how-to manual, it is one of the most important books on liberty to be published in modern times. Jeff Wright tells the story, and brilliantly so, of his own American experience. He then details the heartbreaking truth that the America that so many of us believed in and grew up in is gone, long gone. Most importantly, Jeff outlines an action plan based on local initiative that can restore the republic. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeff Wright. Okay? Nancy Morgan Hart, Jeff Wright, Greg Hunter, Coach Dave Dabamir, now True News down here in Vero Beach with Rick Wiles and his group. Okay, again, you don't have to agree with these people completely. I don't. But what are they saying? Essentially, they're all saying exactly what we're just talking about. The United States you grew up in is gone. The United States that you believe that we live in does not exist. You are led in this cacistocracy by psychopaths. That's why you sit there scratching your head going, why is nothing getting fixed? Why is nothing going on? Why do they lie to me night after night after night? Because they are sociopaths and psychopaths. It's as simple as that. Hang on, Tom. I'm going to get to you in just a second. Okay, a couple more books, then I want to read some excerpts from this, and I'm going to bring Tom on to talk. Okay, another book written by Harvey Checkley, and he's a MD doctor, back in 1941. Folks, this has been around for a long time. The Mask of Sanity, an attempt to clarify some issues about the so-called psychopathetic or psychopathic personality. A lot of people, again, psychopathy and psychopathy, it's pronounced both ways, all right? It's like a lot of words in our language. Neither one is right or the other one wrong. It's just personal preference. It's like tomato and tomato, okay? Same fruit. Actually, a tomato is a fruit. Just pronounce slightly different. Don't make pronunciation an issue, okay? So, psychopathy or psychopathy. Another book, and again, this is written by the Polish gentleman, Andrew Lewiczewski, back in 1998, Political Ponerology, P-O-N-E-R-O-L-O-G-Y. Ponerology is how I pronounce it. Political Ponerology, a science on the nature of evil adjusted for political purposes. Now, the reason his book was suppressed for so long is because he was a Pole in Soviet Russia. And the Bolshevik Jewish communists did not want him publishing it because it exposes their methods. Now, this is a book review that you can read online of that book that I just talked about, Political Ponderology. And here's what this reviewer had to say. It is a fascinating, essential reading. And this is Philip Zimbardo, author of The Lucifer Effect. This book is an extraordinary book. This is the author of Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. The original manuscript of this book went into the furnace. Are you listening, people? The original manuscript of this book went into the furnace minutes before a secret police raid in communist Poland. Probably the leading of the Holy Spirit, wouldn't you say? The second copy, painfully reassembled by scientists working under impossible conditions of violence and repression. I'm telling folks, this is what's coming here right now. The Bolsheviks are here. General Ben Parton of Virginia, who I interviewed many years ago, who was telling us the truth about Oklahoma City. United States Air Force General Ben Parton said his biggest concern was not Oklahoma City and the fact that it was a false flag. It was the fact that the communist Bolsheviks were already here and working in the United States, and the people are ignorant. General Ben Parton, you're right, buddy. Violence and repression. It was sent via courier to the Vatican. Its receipt was never acknowledged. The manuscript and all valuable data lost. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody got a hold of a second copy, sent it to the Vatican, and it disappeared. Gee, I wonder why. Let's see, who runs the Vatican? The Jesuits. Jesuits was founded by, Bolshevik, Zionist, Luciferian Jews. And they got a copy of this book that explains how the Jews do what they do, and it was never even acknowledged. How about that? In 1984, the third and final copy was written from memory by the last survivor of the original researchers, Andrew Lobachevsky. Zbigniew Brzezinski blocked its publication. Oh, there was a tidbit for you. Zbigniew Brzezinski. I remember when I was a boy, everybody thought this was another one of these kikes that we all should listen to because they're so smart and they're so good for America. Why did Brzezinski block the publication? Oh, because Brzezinski's another Bolshevik kike walking amongst us, another wolf in sheep's clothing, and he blocked the publication. After half a century of suppression, this book is finally available. Political Ponderology is shocking in its clinically spare descriptions of the true nature of evil. Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh. It is poignant in its more literary passages, revealing the immense suffering experienced by the researchers, contaminated or destroyed by the disease they were studying. Yeah, the political system, the kakistocracy that runs our Western nations. Political Ponderology is a study of the founders and supporters of oppressive political regimes, i.e. Jews. Lobachevsky, his approach analyzes the common factors that lead to the propagation of man's inhumanity to man. Morality and humanism cannot long withstand the predations of this evil. Knowledge of its nature and its insidious effect on both individuals and groups is the only antidote. You can read that at Jumazon. Oh, some people call it Amazon, but it's run by Jews, so I call it, some of the people I know say, it's Jumazon. And again, online you can go. There's a memorial to Andrew Lobachevsky at SOTT.net. I'm not sure what SOTT stands for, I forget, but I found it this morning. And it's quite a long interview. I printed it out, but in there he goes into a lot of things that we're discussing here. And I'll let you look that up yourself, or if you contact me, I'll send you an email copy of it. I took a couple sections here from it. The interviewer is asking Mr. Lobachevsky about his life and writing the book and what he knows about the original researchers and things like that. But here he's asking about, the question is asked, so how does transferring of psychopathy through genetics relate to it? The answer, it means that respective forms of psychopathy are transferred in different ways, and I personally propose certain hypotheses with respects to inheritance of psychopathy or sociopathy, but very cautious ones. That means that in my experience, I have not seen a case where the mother was entirely normal, the father was a psychopath, and the son was a psychopath too. And there's a comment by the people that put this up on the website. Dabrowski points out that a psychopath may feel inferiority, but it is strictly hierarchical inferiority. This awareness of a, quote, pecking order only inspires a desire to somehow suppress or surpass the other individual. In the case of work, a psychopath may feel envious of another's position and prestige, but will not actually work to achieve that position. Instead, he will brutally manipulate and exploit the work of others in order to achieve domination. Dr. Hare and Babiak describe this phenomenon in their book, Snakes in Suits. Now, Snakes in Suits, the subtitle is When Psychopaths Go to Work. I've been there, both in the military and in the civilian electrical power industry. I've seen what this individual was talking about at work. Back in the day, I did not know it until I became aware of my identity. All I thought it was, these people are odd. These project managers and vice presidents and these different big shots that the power company would bring in to, quote, lead us to becoming world class. Back in 1995, every power plant I went into had a big banner above the doors as you went into the main lobby that said world class in 1995. That's a sign of a conspiracy when every power plant has that. So that's why there's corporations so that the Jew can lead from the top. World class. What did they do? They brought in admirals. They brought in all these so-called experts. And who were they? Psychopaths. Every one of them was a damn psychopath. And almost every one of them was either Jewish or what they call black Jews, known as Indians. Now, you can say whatever you want. I've lived it. I've seen it. I'm telling you it. And it's verifiable. So if it offends your emotions, I really don't give a damn. I'm here to tell facts and truths. I don't care about your emotional response to it. And I don't care about the snoops that listen in. And they know I don't care. How it affects you emotionally is your problem. Christ did not go around like a psychiatrist and try to soothe over people's responses to his message, did he? He says, I'm here to present the truth. I'm here to give you life. You have a choice to make. Door number one or door number two. You can follow through door number one, which leads to the way, Yahshua HaMashiach and the living God Yahweh, or you can take door number two and let the psychopaths run you right into the ground. You, your family, and everything you care about. Pick which door, folks. There's only two doors. Christ said it. You're either for me or against me. In Luke 19:27, he said, bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. Do you think Yahshua was serious about this? Bring those that would not that I rule over them before me and slay them. Sounds pretty serious to me. Now, continuing with that interview, the interviewer says, not this way, so how? And then Lobachevsky says this, it is inherited via the mother. Whoa, the same as Daltonism or hemophilia. Well, wait a minute. As soon as I read that, I thought, what is it that's inherited through the mother in this world that they talk about? Oh, the Jews claim Jewishness comes through the mother. And what are these two researchers talking about? Psychopathy, the sociopathic mentality of the people that rule this world, is inherited through the mother, just like Daltonism and hemophilia. One is inheriting it via the mother. This is the case as far as the essential psychopathy is concerned. Schizoidia or schizoidia is probably inherited autosomally. I can't even pronounce that. It means basically the non-sex chromosomes, but via certain series of autosomal chromosomes. Therefore, the inheriting process differs. Finally, psychiatrists of the past mentioned the asthenic psychopathy as the most numerous. It is generally a broad category full of somewhat different conditions, difficult to differentiate, because these are results of fetal deprivation. Therefore, it can be a hereditary in nature or not. So researching exactly the biological properties of psychopathy, the genetic properties of psychopathy, is very much needed in order to understand exactly this aspect of genesis of evil. So right here, Mr. Lobachevsky is telling us that the scriptures, once again, are true, and that if you have a little bit of knowledge, you can put it with what the Jews say about themselves and figure this thing out. Another book that I'm going to recommend is by J. Reed Malloy, The Mark of Cain, Psychoanalytical Insight and the Psychopath. Whoa, just the title alone. Did you catch it? The Mark of Cain. Yahweh put a mark on Cain when he was kicked out of the garden for murder. Is that psychotic behavior? Is that a psychopath? Yeah, I think so. He didn't show much empathy towards Abel, did he? And did he go out to get a better sacrifice to make Yahweh happy? No, he killed Abel. Do you see the significance of this psychotic behavior? It started then. Cain slew Abel. Rather than going and getting a better sacrifice and doing what Yahweh said, he slew his competition. What does the corporate world do today? It slays the competition. Who sits at the top of the corporations? Kikes. Kikes. Every one of these censorship platforms is run by kikes or their proselytes, but it doesn't matter because they're both psychopaths. Whether it's Shundar or Pajai or whatever you want to pronounce that moron's name over at Google, or Wojcinski and her sister with 23andMe and Facebook, etc., and Zuckerberg, they're all psychotic sociopaths. They're all Jews or Jewish proselytes. So the four percenters, the psychopaths, do what they always do. Do they try to better themselves and win with fair competition? Hell no. They try to destroy their competition, just as these doctors are saying right here in these books. Another short report that's put out by three doctors, Babiak, Newman, and Dr. Hare, is The Corporate Psychopathy, Talking the Walk. I have a copy of it. I downloaded it. If you email me, I'll send you a copy of it. This is these three renowned researchers talking about corporate psychopathy. Why? Because you're living in a corporate world, including your government. Now, a lot of these people want to get back to the common law, and they want to go down these rabbit holes. They want to talk about the admiralty. And we don't need it. It's not complicated, folks. Why are we overcomplicating things constantly? Yeshua didn't overcomplicate it. He simply said, choose door number one or door number two. He himself represented door number one. That's it. It's really quite that simple. The whole thing is that simple. You can either believe what I'm telling you, or you can go through door number two and be destroyed. That's basically it. Does the Holy Spirit resonate within you that you're hearing the truth, or doesn't it? You know damn well what I'm telling you this morning is true. You know damn well. It's no different than when I read this last night and I listened to the Corbett report. I knew I was hearing the truth because I have lived it. I have seen it in the corporate world. This is what drove guys like me nuts. This is why I retired early. This is why some of the people that listen to this show who contact me have told me that they feel like they're going insane working in this corporate world. Why? Because it's run by psychopaths. That's why. Because they will lie, they will cheat, they will steal. Judaism has risen to the top in Western society. And with them comes their psychotic behavior. This is what drives the white man nuts in the corporate world. This is why, again, I left, because it was completely insane. There was no rational thought at all to any of the decisions that are made. It's always about either destroying your competition, putting some other reprobate in a position of power when they had no ability whatsoever. And I'm going to tell you, I watched it from the 1970s on in the Air Force and in the corporate world when they started bringing in minorities and women. And I know some women don't want to hear that, but I'm going to tell you, you don't belong in the military, and you don't belong in the corporate boardrooms, and you don't belong in industry, and especially in the maintenance departments of industry. You don't belong there. Why is that? Because you're completely unfit for it. Completely unfit for it. But why are you there? Because you can be manipulated by the psychopaths. You see, it's very difficult for the psychopaths to take over if it's all Adamic men. And I was blessed to be young enough to go into the military before this took effect, when it was run by predominantly white men officers in the squadron. So I got to see what it was like to go through basic training in my early tech school days when it was still a white society, when some rational thought prevailed. I saw it. And I also saw what happened in 1975 when the psychopaths started taking over at the Pentagon. And the decision to come down to diversify. Now, did that have anything to do with national defense, making us stronger, making our bombers better, making our equipment work better, making morale within the soldiers better? No, it had nothing to do with it. The directive was, we need to diversify. So what did the psychopaths come up with to diversify? They took the test scores that we all had to take, the standardized tests that all of us took to decide what careers we could have in the Air Force or any other branch of the military. They took the test scores, and the requirement to get into the specialized career fields were lowered. Just like a psychopath. A psychopath doesn't want to have to work to meet your standards. They lower the standards so that they themselves can get them in. Let's face it, if the standards were still there, these psychopaths would not even have positions. But they have to convince you that their education lets them bypass the chain. You see, when my father was a young electrician, and my grandfather came out of the Marine Corps and went into selling insurance and was an insurance adjuster and an inspector, they had to work their way up the ladder. That's the way white men do it. You work your way up. You start out like my father, dusting off electrical motors and changing light bulbs, because that's what a young man does. It's not that he wasn't talented. My father had more talent in his little finger than most men have in their entire body. But white men don't mind starting at the bottom. I started at the bottom. In high school, I was a carpenter's assistant. I worked in the fields with the Puerto Ricans picking peaches and onions and tomatoes out of the fields of New Jersey for the Patain farm. It didn't bother me. Got up at dawn, put on my work clothes, and I came home at dusk. I spent all day with guys that couldn't even speak English. Try that sometime, spending a 12, 13, 14-hour day out in fields picking up fruit and vegetables with people that can't even speak your language. And they're making fun of you because everybody's laughing every now and then. And the nickname for me was Aguacate. And I went up to Freddie when he finally came around with the tractor to pick up the full cart. I said, Freddie, these guys are all laughing. He said, what's going on? I said, I hear this word Aguacate. And he just laughed. He said, they're calling you a greenhorn, a novice, a rookie. And then later on, aguacate, I know agua is water, so what they're basically saying, I'm about the same as a water carrier. That's all I'm good for, carrying water, because I couldn't work as fast as they did. But I was just a kid in high school. These were adult men. Do you see how that works, folks? The Adamic man is willing to start at the bottom and work his way up. I wouldn't want it any other way. Why was I good when I finally got to be a supervisor and an engineer in the field? Because I had worked my way up. I knew what the hell I was talking about. These people that come in from the top because they've got a degree, they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. We called them educated idiots. That was our term for them, educated idiots. And did we listen to them? No. Did it piss them off? Yes. Because they thought the degree meant something, because they paid all that money and went to school, and these Jewish professors and these Jewish administrators told them, this will set you apart, this will make you better, you'll get a better pay, and you get more respect, and you could be an officer in the military. The dumbest thing we ever did as a society, making a degree mandatory to be a leader in the military or to be a leader in industry. Some of the best leaders I ever worked with never got to be that because they wouldn't go get the piece of paper. I was blessed to become an engineer, a non-degreed engineer, because I worked for Bechtel at one point in my career. And to their credit, even though they're not an American company, Bechtel Corporation counted my work experience and my knowledge as the equivalent to a Bachelor of Science degree, and I was given the job as an engineer because I knew what I was talking about. Would the American companies do that? Oh, no, no. Like Westinghouse, I went to work for Westinghouse. Even though their offer letters said, we're hiring you to do the job of a field engineer, when I got there and the project manager's putting the organizational chart together, he says, Dan, I don't know what to do with you. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, I'm putting the org chart together. I don't know where to put you. I said, well, put me in there as an engineer. I'm doing an engineer's job. Well, I can't do that because you don't have a degree. 6 months later, I quit. It took me 6 months to find another job, but I told them that afternoon that I was leaving. And they had just hired me. And I said, I don't work for liars. So anyway, this book, Snakes in Suits, it'll tell you exactly what I'm just telling you right now. And again, go listen to that report, the James Corbett Report, episode 90. It's an excellent analysis. Now, at the end of that report, this was an interesting quote. And the reason it's interesting is because I know a gentleman here in Florida that this is going to mean a lot to him. But this, see if you know who this is. If anybody could put on paper what our government, the U.S. government, Chinese, Russian government, etc., think they are doing, I would be very pleased to know, because I think they are all insane. But I'm liable to be put away as insane for expressing that. That is what is insane about it. Now, who do you think said that? The governments of the world, this is back in 1968. the governments of the world, including the United States, Chinese, Russian, etc., are run by the criminally insane, but I'll be called insane for expressing it. None other than John Lennon. Now, when I saw that, because the first impression is that the Beatles, of course, their music and everything is satanic, but the Beatles were taken over. And their music was taken over by the same psychopaths that have taken over the almost all of the music industry. So I'm thinking, clear back in 1968, John Lennon said this. Do you think possibly that might have something to do with why John Lennon was shot mysteriously by, can't even think of the guy's name. Think about that for a minute. Okay, there was a lot said about when Prince and Michael Jackson died early deaths. And it has been rumored that they were very outspoken just before their early departures about the psychopathic Jew and their domination of the music industry. Do you think they were about ready to talk, maybe? Just like John Lennon, are they afraid that he might come out and say what we're saying now? Food for thought, ladies and gentlemen. Food for thought. Especially this book, The Mark of Cain, Psychoanalytic Insight and the Psychopath by J. Reed Malloy. Yahweh's telling us how to identify our enemies if we're paying attention. All right? Let's bring Tommy on here. Tommy, you still with us? See if it worked. Oh, it didn't work. Hold on a minute. Okay, now, Tom, can you hear me?
Yep, I hear you.
Oh, okay, good. You're coming in loud and clear.
All right, awesome. Yeah, it's funny because I found out about your show, I think, about a few months ago through John Mark. And, you know, it's interesting how everything that's been going on. I've seen a lot of things over the years going on, but really the last, since 2013, I think that's when the Lord woke me up. I used to live in upstate New York. That's where I was born. And then Cuomo up there decided to pass in the middle of the night the SAFE Act, which made every detachable magazine semi-automatic into an assault weapon, allegedly. So that woke me up when Obama was coming out and saying they want to come after the guns. And it's just something just woke me up. And then mm-hmm. this is started my journey, but I live in Lakeland, Florida now. So I went into welding at 38 years old just because I see the writing on the wall. The economy is going to tank. This economy is done. The Jew run economy, I honestly think the Yahweh is absolutely fed up with this, and he's going to take the economy to help save us, in my opinion. A lot of people think, oh, no, we can't lose the economy. I says, I don't want to be a debt slave anymore. I'm sick and tired of having to worry about insurance going up, all these farces going on. And to be honest, I'm majorly disappointed in Trump. I'm beyond disappointed in this guy because I thought, okay, this guy's an outsider. You know, he knows the game in and out. They're trying to kill him, blah, 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 blah. And just for him doing what he did the other day with this executive order on anti-Semitism, what the hell is going on with this anti-Semitism crap? I'm astounded at, in my honest opinion, I think he's desperate to win 2020. He's rubbing their palms so he could win. That's just my gut feeling. And he's making a deal with the devil, in my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tommy,
I agree. You know, a lot of us were, in the beginning, we were Trump supporters because it looked like he was an outsider and And there's no doubt about the fact Trump was saying the right things. You know, I'm a member of the American Legion, so I was down there, and all of us Legionnaires were staunchly pro-Trump. I'm part of a motorcycle, it's not a club, but it's an association affiliated with the Legion. I was the director of that group. All of the other posts with their motorcycle associations were all staunchly pro-Trump. We were part of the groups of veterans and former law enforcement that were going to go to Cleveland to protect the Trump rally. So believe me, we were all there because on the outside it looked like this guy was finally somebody outside the circle that was going to represent us, the true Americans, the people that actually yep. belong here. But you're right. Within the last year, especially when Q, okay, now a lot of people know.
Oh, God, the Q thing.
Yeah, I was putting out a lot of Q material in the beginning, but I always put the caveat. I put the caveat there with Q and Trump always from the beginning. I said, this could be a Trojan horse, okay? Now, I said, let's give it some time, but I always gave that caveat that this could be a setup. Now it looks like it is. When Q told me to trust Sessions and that Alan Dershowitz was a patriot, that was it. I broke with Q at that point, and now I've broken with Trump when it's everything is for the non-white and the non-Protestant. He can't kiss enough ass on the non-white, non-Protestant peoples, including the Jews.
Yeah.
Okay? There isn't one of their asses that he won't bend over and kiss. Okay? You and me, he could care less about.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't give a damn. And here's the thing. I donated money to his campaign. At first, when the Q thing came out, my gut told me this is a psyop. And then I said, why don't I just look into it? Well, I should have listened to my gut instinct in the first place. And a lot of channels that I was watching on YouTube, they were following Q. And a lot of them, and these are small channels, you know, they're just truthers out there. And then they're putting out stuff like, what the hell is this putting up an ice cream cart or something? What is this crap? Like, this is a waste of my time. Like, they're giving us false hope over here. And then they left, and I'm like, something to think about. And then my opinion is, where is Q on all this gun control? How come the red flag laws, how come he didn't say anything against the bump stocks? Because in my opinion, Q is an NSA/Mossad psyop. I guarantee it, because he put truth out about the demographics, about the voting patterns. And I was like, okay, there's some truth. But what does Satan do? He'll give 99% truth, 1% lies, and the 1% lies is the most dangerous.
Amen. Amen.
And the interesting part is that I think he's going to win if there are elections. But here's the thing. Where is he chiming in about what's going on in Virginia? There's about to be a civil war just in Virginia alone. And he's not saying a thing about it. He's going to say, we have the judges. The judges are going to take forever to rule on these things. SCOTUS, in my opinion, is going to side with the left because they've been threatened. I don't think SCOTUS is going to sit here and overturn assault weapon bans like in New York and all these places. I don't think they're going to do it because they could have done this literally 10 years ago in California.
Well, Tommy, let me ask you a question. How many of us are on the Supreme Court?
Zero.
Zero. Exactly. Every one of those Supreme Court justices, including the ones Trump put up there, are part of the Bolshevik psychopath group. Okay? Mm-hmm. They're either outright Jews or they're
Catholics. Controlled by them.
Or they're Catholics. Okay? Now, what are Catholics? They're white Jews. Okay.
Yeah.
Catholicism is just another branch of Judaism. What's that?
Yeah, it is. The Pope wears a yarmulke.
He wears a yarmulke. I mean, how much? not only that, but what did the Christ tell us? Judge them by their fruits. You don't give a damn what they're wearing,
yep.
what speeches they
yep.
give. What are their fruits? And Trump
oh, yeah.
is in charge of this ship, okay? What now, mm-hmm. there's an old saying that in the Navy that when a ship sinks, the last person to get off the ship is who? The captain. Why? Because the captain's responsible for the ship. He may not have turned the valve. He may not have done whatever it is that's sinking the ship, but he's responsible for every soul on the ship. And until every soul on that ship is safe and sound, he does not leave the bridge.
Yep.
And if the ship
Never.
Sinks, he goes down with it. Trump is in the helm of this ship of state, and he's responsible. So when elements of this government do the Antichrist bullshit that they're doing, he is responsible. And if people don't like to hear that, I don't give a damn.
Yep.
That's what
comes with
the job.
Yep, I've gotten flack over like on Facebook with some things, and I'm like, where's Trump to protect the Second Amendment? He could have written an executive order to stop online censorship immediately. Why didn't he do it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually in the First Amendment. Unless somebody is making death threats about these things, which you can't do, it violates reciprocity. The interesting part is that I think Trump is scared that proprietarianism is going to happen. And I think he's just going to try to, he wants to keep the status quo going. That's how he's made his billions. He didn't make his billions just by doing it the honest way. He's made friends with the Clintons. I grew up in upstate New York. I met a ton of people that worked for Trump on different jobs and all these kinds of things. New York is a complete Democrat-controlled shithole, pardon my language, for decades. It's never changed. I mean, there have been Republican governors there. They're all Democrats. My dad owns a diner up there. He had three at one point. So, my parents are from Greece. So they had to start from nothing.
Right.
So the interesting part is that they never got deals. They never got anything, any of these things done. And I'm like, okay, Trump could have just seen what's been going on, the human trafficking. And I'm like, wait a minute. He's protecting the biggest pedophiles in the world. He's
right.
protecting the damn Jews. Well,
right.
who are the ones who control the money? The Jews. It's not backed by anything. They funded every single world war there was. They funded every single fourth generation warfare war that we have lost, by the way. And the interesting part is that they think they're going to win us in a they're going to stick the military and the cops on us. I'm like, yeah, I know some cops that just that just don't care and they'll do whatever is told, but from what I'm hearing, Virginia is proving that a lot of cops are actually on our side. And I'm really glad to hear that. Because I was really for a while I'm starting to get like, oh my God, like we're completely surrounded. And at the same time I'm looking at sheer numbers and I'm like, we outnumber them. I mean millions to one.
Yeah, even without the police on our side, we outnumber them. Even if the military and police are not our side, we still greatly outnumber them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. I know people that are in law enforcement. I know people in corrections. I have family and friends in both of those, and I know people in the military. And I know for a fact that they don't have all of them on their side. In fact, I would say probably the majority are either middle of the fence or on our side. So
yeah.
Until the bullets fly, you really don't know the exact numbers, but I
yeah.
do know a very large number of them are not on their side. And let me recount this real quick, Tommy. This is something I watched last night. There's a YouTube of this, and again, if you email me, folks, I'll send you the link. It's also on my website on the Daily Mail page. But there was a young man in Virginia within the last week, and I didn't write his name down. Let me see if somewhere I put it down here. I guess I didn't.
Oh, he's a marshal, right?
He's a marshal.
I think I sent you that video over email.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. Here it is.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
yeah.
the one
Fairfax.
That sent it to me. Okay. Yeah. His name is Ben Woods.
Yep, Ben
and
Wood.
He is a U.S. Marshal, and he's in Fairfax County, Virginia, talking to, I believe, county officials. Now, folks, I'm going to give you my remembrance of what he said. So this is a paraphrase, but this young man is a veteran of the United States Army. He's a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. He is an officer in the United States Marine Corps Reserve, and he is currently a United States Marshal. So this dude should be listened to. What he said was, I'm a plain-clothed marshal. In other words, I dress like every other civilian dresses, so nobody sees my badge, nobody sees my weapon. He goes, and I'm going to tell you, for the first time in my life, and he lives in Virginia, and he's from Virginia, he said, I am afraid for my wife and my soon-to-be child that will be born in March. He said, I am considering leaving the state of Virginia because of what I'm hearing. For the first time in my life, I'm hearing people at bars, in grocery stores, on the street, talking about tarring and feathering politicians. Now, here's something that I talked about many years ago on this program. I did a series of in-person speaking engagements and on this radio show. For some reason, I was led to do that. I went into the various forms of biblical execution and why they are there. A lot of people think that, well, you just take out criminals. No, there's a reason why some were hung, some were stoned, others were put to the sword, okay? There was a reason behind it. It wasn't just arbitrary, okay? So my point is that there's a cause and effect, and like he said, the tarring and feathering, that's not a ridicule. A lot of people think, well, that just means splashing some black paint and covering them with feathers. Tarring and feathering was a form of execution, okay? If you study it like I have, you're going to find out that the colonists, when they tarred and feathered magistrates, they were called magistrates in their day. Today they're called state and federal employees. Mm-hmm. When they tarred and feathered them, they used boiling hot pitch, or it's like asphalt.
God.
Okay? They took the person out into the streets, and they stripped them naked, and they poured this boiling hot tar on them, and then they poured feathers, usually chicken feathers, so that it stuck to the tar. There was no intention that this person was going to live. A lot of people think it was just a ridicule. No, the intention was a very painful death. Third, fourth degree burns over the entire body will kill most people. And even if you live, do you really want to live with your entire body with fourth degree burns all over it? Especially, we're talking 200 years ago, medicine, okay? So the point of it is, again, people don't have the ability to think. They think in terms of modern television, movies, and whatever comes into their goofy brains today. But tarring and feathering was a very serious thing, and the colonists, to get pissed off enough to pour burning hot tar and pitch all over a naked body means that you had to have pissed them off pretty bad. But the point of it is, they did not consider their magistrates to be gods. So when magistrates committed treason, when magistrates committed rape, when magistrates committed kidnapping, they were taken out, or they committed murder, they were taken out and they were executed. That's the point. And that's what this young marshal is talking about. The people in Virginia that he encountered on the street, and he didn't say this explicitly, he kind of made inference to this, that they are talking about not just tarring and feathering, but they're talking about other forms of execution of errant magistrates. That's serious.
Well, if you really think about it, other than the president and the Pentagon and, you know, spooks in the government, that, you know, pretty much live in, that pretty much go to work daily in bunkers and hard in, extremely hard in places. I mean, most politicians wouldn't survive a mass civil unrest. They just wouldn't survive it. I mean, and even if a small percentage of the cops that do protect them, if they don't show up, which I think a lot of them are going to do that, I think they're just going to be like, oh, I'm calling up sick, or, you know, they're just going to pretend like they're not going to show up. It's better if they don't show up, because then they can't be hurt, in my
right.
opinion. And I would recommend they don't show up. I want them to go home to their families. I want them to bug out to their cabins and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then when the dust settles, you have these people come and help us rebuild.
Amen.
That's what I would much rather have. Unfortunately,
right.
a lot of these egomaniacs that wear a badge, unfortunately, are under the delusion that they're going to control us. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. I mean, if you look at the Soviet Union, it collapsed. Soviet Union was pretty darn powerful for a long time. That
right.
collapsed. I
Amen.
Mean, Rome collapsed. I mean, what, you know, Kurt Doolittle said, you know, flat out said it. He says immigration and corruption, pretty much those two things will equal destruction of an empire.
Amen.
And we're beyond corrupt now. Like I'm surprised we haven't turned into a low trust nation yet. I'm surprised, because look at most of the corporations in the country are ruled by, you know, six or seven of them pretty much.
Right.
So,
well, they're all psychopaths, right?
Well, that's exactly. They're all satanic pedophiles.
Oh yeah, and they're liars.
It's sick.
Yeah, let's bring Randy. Randy's calling in as well. So Randy up in Michigan. Welcome to the program, Randy.
Good morning. Praise Yahweh, gentlemen.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
A little bit ago, you guys were kind of getting into the gun control stuff with Trump. Now, remember, he's on video, which we have copies of. He was floating the idea around that they would just take our guns away and then we'd go to court for due process. There's a problem with that. First, it's not only a violation of due process, but under the Constitution, Bill of Rights, any of the founding documents, no government or even a court, basically no form of government in our country is allowed to, whether it be temporarily or permanently, be able to take away our rights.
Yep.
Right. Well, a right, so, I mean, by definition, I mean, cannot be legislated away.
Right, exactly. So the way we need to look, because, you know, there's all this, like, you know, there's these sanctuary things. I'm not really for or against it. I mean, I like just to look at it like, hey, look, we have this right to keep and bear arms. We don't need to be pleading with these tyrannical parts of our government. We don't negotiate with them. When they come
yep.
against our rights, they have declared themselves the enemy, and that is an act of war. We don't need to be doing. We just have to enforce what we already have. That's our problem. We can say, hey, government, these are our rights, and we can write them all down. If we're not willing to back that up, it's meaningless.
Yep.
We have to back it up with force, and that's the problem.
Right.
Yep.
It's not that we're like trying to start this war.
No,
they've declared the war on us.
Exactly.
They're the ones looking for the fight. We just wanted to be left alone. But what do they do? They keep taxing us. They keep they're pushing us. And all throughout history shows that you can only push people around for so long before they finally load up their rifles and say, to hell with you.
Oh yeah.
No, amen.
I think we're months away.
What choice did they give us?
Yeah, no, and I don't even think we're going to even have an election anymore, because if you look at just even if 15% of the right wing, which owns most of the guns, we pretty much know that elections are a complete hoax at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, Bloomberg is flat out coming out, and, you know, his money pretty much helped flip Virginia. However, it really, who flipped Virginia is non-white immigration in just a few counties. That's what flipped Virginia. So I think there's going to be a few different things going to happen here. There's going to be secessionist movements already. All these militias are starting, and I think there's going to be enough pressure on Virginia to split off from, well, a lot of the Virginia counties, the 80-plus counties that said, no, we're not going to go along with this, I think they're going to split off to West Virginia. I think that's going to start that, and I think it's, you're going to start seeing a domino effect. And then Trump, if he's smart, if he wants to redeem himself with the right wing, he's going to write an executive order nullifying all gun control. That would be the only way he could redeem himself at this point, in my opinion.
I don't.
But here's the problem with the election. I'm sure you guys remember this. Remember years ago when Ron Paul was running for president, how many delegates were denied. Even me, I was kicked out of a delegate position. I was completely denied my position, and many other people that were for Ron Paul as well. So let's not forget history. And these are the dangers of political parties. George Washington warned us that these political parties are dangerous because, in a sense, they're claiming to be basically their private. So if you want to participate and be a part of their party, they'll kick you out.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, it's the dangers of these political parties. And they've showed themselves time and time again to be exactly that. Exactly what George Washington told us. They are dangerous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're nothing more than mafia.
I mean, even look what they're doing to Trump, right? They want to kick him out of office.
You want my take on this? My take on this is it's a giant show. It's Kabuki theater, just like Dan says all the time. And my gut tells me, and I think this is from Yahweh telling me, don't buy any of this stuff. This is controlled. All this is a movie. Just like Q says, it's a movie. I'll believe that. You want to know why it's a movie? Because they're laughing.
Right.
They think, they're going to impeach him. They're not going to impeach him. It's all theater. They're going to make us think that Trump is the good guy, just being bullied, and they're just he's just going to slow the globalist takeover. That's all he's doing. He's only slowing it to some degree.
I don't trust any of them.
No, I lost my trust in him for a while ago.
Trust Yahweh and have your rights.
I only trust Yahweh.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeshua, that's it.
Well,
at this point,
the great big red flag with Trump is when he's got a daughter married to a Mossad agent, and he's bragging about that, and the fact that his daughter has renounced her Anglican name and taken a Yiddish name. Okay, and the fact that he considers Jared, the Mossad agent son-in-law, to be one of his closest advisors. What the hell does that tell you? Is he for us?
They got something on Trump, that's for sure. They got a lot on him.
Well, first of all, he's a rich billionaire playboy. You don't think that not stepped over the line a few times in his life?
His apartment, his building is 666, for God's sakes. I mean, can we see any more blatant signs over here?
Yep.
I think what they got on Trump is there are some videos floating around. Now, you know, Trump can denounce Epstein all he wants, but the fact is they had some sort of a friendly relationship throughout the years. Maybe that had a falling out, I don't know. But there are some very, what I would call, I don't know, what's the word for it? I mean, it's just pictures that you might take with your daughter that don't quite seem appropriate. I mean, I don't know if y'all have seen those. They don't seem quite right is what I'm saying. You know what I mean? I've got three daughters of my own.
Yeah, let me point something out to you. Years ago, before Trump was running for office, they took pictures of his mansions, some of the buildings in New York and in Florida. And the one thing I noticed is how much gold covers everything. All right?
Yes.
Now, in my years, the one thing that I've noticed with almost all Jews that I personally either met or worked with is they love gold. Almost every one of them had 3, 4, 5 rings on their fingers, the big, heavy gold chains around their neck, gold pins on their... They love gold because to them, that's their God. It represents their power, their money. They love gold. They will kill for gold. They will lie, cheat, and steal for gold. And Trump's living quarters is covered in gold.
Yep.
Including his airplane, if you've seen the tour. I think it was his his seat belts on the airplane they were showing, they were gold plated of some sort.
All right. So what more evidence do we need? Okay, here's the number one problem with Trump, okay, and why he's a Trojan horse. What was one of the things that Trump said that got so much respect and support from the patriot community? He was going to bring out the truth about 9/11. Have we seen any of the truth about 9/11 come out?
Zero.
Okay. He's the president. Yep. He's the top executive officer of this corporation called the United States. He could unseal all of the documents showing it is an Israeli operation, and he's not doing it. So where is his allegiance?
Yep, it's Israel.
That's exactly right.
It's to the Antichrist.
That's why the militias. Exactly. The militias need to be on full alert right now. I'm telling you. Okay.
Oh, they are.
I know that they listen because I get feedback once in a while, not directly but indirectly, and I know the men are listening, and I watch some of the YouTubes put out in the Carolinas and Virginia by the young men, the mountain men up there, the same ones that have the blood of our ancestors on in them, like Reed Hendrick. He puts
Reed
out some really
yep.
good
yep.
Reed
I,
Hendrick
I went
puts
to school.
Out
yeah.
Oh,
yep.
he does a wonderful job. He is stereotypical of the mountain man that will take back this country and bring us back to the republic, the Christian republic that we started out. Those are the kind of men who are the salt of the earth, not these pompous asses in Washington, D.C. or in Richmond or any other state capital. They're nothing but pompous asses. Look at the pompous ass we got down here in Florida. And you know what I'm talking about, Tommy.
Yeah.
DeSanto, he is another...
Yeah, DeSantis, I thought this guy was good at first because... You know, he was like if he was governor during Rick Scott's time, he would have vetoed the red flag law. I was like, all right, this guy sounds on the up and up, you know. And then now all of a sudden he signs into law anti-Semitism in schools. Give me a break, man. They know it's a lie.
Well, first of all, DeSantis, where did he go to ceremoniously sign that bill? Tel Aviv. All right.
Oh God.
So he's another Jewish ass kisser. Okay. DeSantis knows
because that's who's paying them. Yeah,
that's
right. Paying them.
He knows who's.
I guarantee when the economy does collapse, because I've been hearing this all over the place. I've been hearing this from, big economists. I've been saying Greg Hunter on he's got a good channel. I like Greg Hunter. He puts out stuff and he doesn't whitewash it. There are a lot of people saying we're going to be in the worst economic collapse ever. And here's the way I look at it. I look at this as long as the people who are prepping with food, ammunition, firearms, training, especially you need training, the know-how to use all these things, and the word of the Lord Yahweh, we'll survive this, and here's the thing. The Jews rely on that. They rely on this corrupt system. When their system goes under, they're done. They're done.
Yeah. Right.
And that's why the Federal Reserve, who's owned by the Jews, the Rothschilds, and Soros and all these people, they're pumping all this money in desperately to keep this cabal going. They know it's going to collapse. So they're just biding their time. They know the inevitable is coming. That's why I'm kind of white-pilled, because I'm just like, all right, they're coming after the guns. Great. Who are they going to send it? Who are they going to send? How many are they going to send? Or if we see tanks down the road, that's just going to legitimize the cause that, that patriots like myself have been saying for years, and they called us kooks and stuff. I says, well, we've been vindicated. Because Virginia, a black Democrat, coming out saying, we're going to use the National Guard to uphold gun control. Boom, right there. It just vindicated everything we've been saying for decades.
Right.
Everything. Right there.
Everything.
Oh, the government's going to come after them. Oh, no, you're just crazy. You're just... Oh, here we go. We got proof. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do start doing that. And if anything,
they did in Louisiana.
Yes, they did.
During Hurricane Katrina. Let's not forget.
But they did this... Yeah, they only did this during a horrible thing where communications were cut. They're not going to, if they do this when communications are still on, people are going to drive over to Virginia to fight. You got people from Tennessee, which I've trained at a tactical response a few times as well. Reed Hendricks used to work for them as well. So I've gone to a few schools for firearms training.
Well, now that you brought that up, brother, let's remember over the last few years, Mims now have smart meters. With the flick of a button, they can control large segments of population with their electric and gas and all that. The smart meters probably play into all this. Internet kill switches.
To a degree. I see. I look at it this way. You have to understand, tactically, the police today, the military today, they're running on all this high-tech stuff. The generation of the military today are not nothing like the Vietnam era. I've talked to a lot of them, and I have a good buddy of mine from high school. He served like 14 years in the Army. He flat out said, he's like, this stuff, he's ran into Green Berets and Deltas and all these guys. These guys could survive easily without any technology. The problem is, tactically today, most police, they wouldn't survive even in urban conflict when the power goes out, because they need the helicopters, they need all these things, because they've been trained only in that sense. They're not trained to live off the wilderness.
Right.
You may have a few units to do that, but those guys are going to be smart enough to say, we're not taking on the people who've been prepping for years. We're not taking those guys on. They're smart. They say, we're going to take on the gangs maybe to a degree, but even that, they're just going to let the cities crumble. And that's what's going to happen, in my opinion.
As soon as the donut shops close up and run out of donuts, they're in real trouble. Just thought I'd throw that
out. Yeah, right? And down here, we got Krispy Kreme. Believe me, they got it made down here.
The only unfortunate thing is when they use a National Guard. This is the unfortunate thing, because once again, we have the enemy who is like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. They get to sit in the background and watch us kill each other off, and that's unfortunate, man. That really is. Because we need to go after the real enemy in our country and stop killing each other.
Well, I look at it this way. I think the National Guard, from the statement that was released by the Major General in Virginia, he's keeping neutral. He says, we respect and we understand the citizens' concern for the Second Amendment. So that gentleman's being smart about it by saying, let's just wait and see what this governor does. Because I think most of the National Guardsmen are going to be like, I'm not showing up, or we're going to go against you. And I can guarantee you that general is taking those threats very seriously, and you need the rank and file to get things done. Without the rank and file, you have no military. I never served either, so I'm just like, this is what I've been told by people who are professionals who have seen combat, and they have flat out said, you need the privates, the sergeants, the corporals. You need all of them. If you don't have most compliance, you have no organization. And this is where they have to spend billions of dollars to spread propaganda to us that, oh, the government controls you. Really? That's why they have to spend billions, if not trillions of dollars daily to lie to us?
Right.
Come on.
You guys, speaking of Vietnam, I'm a Vietnam era veteran myself. And during the Vietnam War, you guys remember they used to have a thing called fragging?
Yes, I've heard of that.
Okay, what was
born in 78, gentlemen.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a young pup. Okay,
sorry.
But
sorry.
I'm 81.
during the I'm 53, so I got you both beat. During the war, there were plenty of times that some of these butter bars, which is a second lieutenant and first lieutenant, sometimes higher, but usually it was a second or first lieutenant, in the Army would be shot in Vietnam, and typically he was shot in the back by his own men. And the reason for that was because, again, these psychopaths start this shit, and then they make our guys go over and fight and die in these jungles and other places. These butter bars, because they had a degree, but they had no experience, but they were put in charge, they would be telling the guys to do things that were going to get them killed. And they knew that. And the men in the field know that. Okay? So that's something that most civilians don't understand. When the bullets start flying, The Geneva Convention goes away. The commanders at the Pentagon go away. The politicians go away. The police go away. All these groups out here telling you that you're going to be protected for these draconian things that they're going to do. Let me tell you something. When the bullets start flying, that all goes away, and it becomes the law of the jungle.
And that's the reality of it. Is the, like I said, the power. John Mark explains this very explicitly, and he uses data to back it up. He flat out says, without the power, the government's nothing. They're nothing.
And that's a good point, Tommy. And what's the power of the government? Their phony money system.
Bingo. Because look at what China's doing. China, Russia, Brazil, BRICS. You heard of BRICS, right?
Right.
BRICS. Look them up. They're forming an entire coalition now for over a decade to form their own global currency, pretty much. So our money's done. So the Jews, they don't control China. I can promise you that one. The Chinese, that's the only thing I got to say about them. They're smart. They're very ethnocentric. Communists, however, they're smart. They don't let foreigners take over. They're not stupid. And one thing is China, Russia, they had to learn the hard way because of the Bolsheviks. So the Jew money's done, in my opinion. I think I don't even think we're gonna have elections next year. In my opinion, that's just my gut. My gut tells me that.
Well, the year 2020 is going to be pivotal. I can tell you that much.
Oh, bingo. Oh, yeah. It's. I think, like I said, you know, the interesting part is, look at the timing of the proprietarianism. The timing couldn't have been better, in my opinion.
Right.
And, you know, Kurt Doolittle, I've messaged him on a few issues, asked a few questions, and he's responded back very politely, you know, real down-to-earth guy. And this guy's done his homework. He's done his homework and then some. And there's a lot of problems with what our old constitution had, and the Bolsheviks, they used those things that weren't addressed to their advantage. So having more judges is not going to solve a damn thing. It's just going to worsen it, in my opinion. At least judges in this current system. So the long term solution, proprietarianism, I love it. I've read through it, and I'm like, this makes logical sense. It is moral, because there are other countries that would just go through, like, really bad lengths to get rid of some certain people. I would just deport them. Just get them out of there. Get them out of there. Let them go back to their lands. Leave us alone. We'll trade, but that's as far as that goes. And I think that's just going to be the most proficient way of doing things. And I think the whole world is going to be better, a much better place.
Well, think about this, Tommy. If we go back, according to Scripture, this is where we're headed. We're going to come back under God's law. Now, to me, the beautiful thing is, if we live, and we've done some shows of what would society be like if we were completely under God's law, and guess what? It fits in perfectly with most of what the libertarians talk about and the proprietarians.
So, no, yeah, because everybody is respected. Everybody
is
you're not respected by the barrel of a gun. You have a gun to protect yourself and your property, but we don't need to resort to that unless it's an absolute last resort. We don't want to have to resort to that. That's the reality of it. The reality of all the gun control laws, the licenses you need to carry and all these things, all it does is enable all the scum of society to circumvent that. That's all it does.
Yep.
I mean, it's completely unconstitutional to make someone get a concealed carry license. Like, my wife shouldn't have to go for a concealed carry license. She just moved down from New York. Like, she should be able to carry a Glock 26. And, you know, and that's it.
Well,
Yeah,
years ago, I used to help people buy weapons because they were afraid of being put on a list and everything, and I didn't give a damn. So I said, give me the money, I'll go buy it for you. So I used to do that for some of the guys at work and some of my friends and stuff. I said, I'm already on the list. I'm already on the red list, so I don't really give a damn, so give me the money. I would go and buy it, and then we get into discussions, and they would say, well, what states can I go through and all this? And I just, especially the men, I would look at them and I go, well, wait a minute, you're buying a weapon. Why would you not carry it? And I said, now, your wife, in this one particular case, his buddy was, his wife was going to be driving up to the Northeast somewhere from Illinois and coming back with the children by herself because he had to stay back and work or do something. And yeah. I said, well, why would you not want her to have that weapon accessible in that van as she's traveling? What do you care about their damn laws? I said, do you think those cops and the governor of that state's going to be anywhere around when some rapist or murderer tries to get your wife and children?
Nope.
I said, you teach her how to use it, first of all, how to carry it and use it safely, and then let her put it in there and don't worry about it. You know what she told him when she got back from the trip? And thanks be to Yahweh, nothing happened. She didn't get in any trouble. But at one point she did, in a thunderstorm, she did get a flat tire. And she said to him when she got back, she goes, you know, and it was at night, she said, if I didn't have that weapon in the car with me, I would have panicked. But as it turned out, she felt fine. She just stayed relaxed in the car. She knew the loaded weapon was there if she needed it. And eventually a police car, and some of the police are good guys.
Yeah.
A police car came up, found out that it was a tire, and the officer changed her tire for her, and she went on down the road. So those are the men that I respect, the men in uniform I respect. He
yeah.
saw that, you know, she was alone with her children. He didn't try to pull any bullshit. He just simply changed her tire and she went down the road. Those are the kind of police I grew up with and the kind of police that were members of the community and we respected. But the point was she did not panic because she knew she had an equalizer in the van that if some car full of whatevers pulled up with an evil intention, she had a way to defend herself. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And that's the right we have. That's a God-given right. We have a right to defend ourselves. And Jonathan Locke, L-O-C-K-E, Jonathan Locke was one of the philosophers that our founding fathers quoted often. Jonathan Locke, this is one of his famous quotes. Any man trying to disarm you is your
enemy.
Mortal enemy.
Yep.
Okay,
that's
all you need to understand, yep. Ladies and gentlemen. Any group of people, whether they're at the state or federal level or at the county level or even at the township level, any people trying to disarm you are your mortal enemies. Make no mistake about it.
Oh, 100%. I look at it this way. If God didn't, if the Father, Yahweh, didn't want us armed, he would have said so.
Exactly. And yet the Scripture is
so
very clear that he does
him,
want us.
I follow Yeshua.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's funny because some of the mainstream ministries are starting to come our way, and hallelujah for that. In fact, I heard John on the Prepared Mind last night took a direct quote from one of our programs talking about tarring and feathering and about errant politicians, etc. So many of the things that we discuss here and put into the ethers are percolating up through these different truther channels and content creators. So praise Yahweh for that, because these are biblical truths. And one of the things that these people are pointing out is that unlike what the church world teaches, which are nothing but whores and prostitutes and these whitewashed sepulchers, What Christ and the disciples actually taught was that we are to be trained in war and the weapons of war, and we are to be armed. That is actually a Christian duty. That's not a suggestion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the warrior is mentioned so many times in the Bible.
Exactly.
I mean, if it was not of God, it would not have been, it would have been bashed. So, well, listen, I have to get going. It was definitely a pleasure. I will definitely try to get on as much as I can. Wednesday nights, what time do you have your call?
Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern and Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.
Okay. I'll try to make as much as I can on that because I greatly enjoy talking to you guys. And I love listening to the archives.
All right, Tommy. Yahweh bless you, buddy, and you and your family.
Thank you, sir. Yahweh bless to all. Thank you.
Yep. Yahweh bless. All right, again, that was Tommy. Great to know that we got another Patriot down here in Central Florida. Here again, Randy, a year and a half ago, I was praying about where do we set up our ark, where do we form ranks for the last days. And, you know, as strange as it seems, a lot of the indicators ever since then have pointed to Central Florida, and I don't know why, because most people consider Florida a lost cause. But Yahweh keeps pointing the arrow down here to Central Florida. So something's going on in Central Florida, because a lot of patriots and patriotic organizations are flourishing in Central Florida for some reason.
I think there's more people awake than any of us even realize.
I believe it's true, just from what I'm seeing.
Especially
because
the last couple of years.
Well, think about it. Dr. Ted Brewer, who's on the Hagman Report and various other programs, he has his own podcast. He's right up there near Tommy in Lakeland, Florida. You've got Chris Ann Hall, who's one of the best constitutional lawyers in America, and her husband, who's a pastor. They live up near Orlando. You've got several other patriotic groups I'm aware of. Renegade Tribune, that puts out a lot of good material, is Central Florida. There's a patriotic group up in the Panhandle. I can't think of their name right now. And the Freedom Law School, which is teaching people how to fight the IRS, is stationed in Tampa. There's a ministry out of Tampa that's associated with the Global Reset and Gasara and Nisara. So you got all these things happening, and a lot of it, and not all of it, but a lot of it is emanating or focusing in the central part of Florida, which, by the way, the northern two-thirds of Florida is predominantly white. Okay, I know we hear about Orlando, which has an awful lot of the brown people in it and stuff, but it's just like Virginia. Okay, the majority of the land mass of Virginia is strongly conservative, patriotic Christian. Well, the same thing with the upper two-thirds of Florida. It's that those areas that you hear where all the trouble is are usually around the cities, just like down here in the southern tip. Where is most of our problem? Around Fort Lauderdale and Miami. Okay?
Yep.
Once you get out of those zones, it becomes very white and very civilized again. But when you get into the concentrated areas down here, where it's predominantly non-white, we have the problem. Just as John Mark points out with his demographic charts, a lot of this Bolshevism crap is brought into our ranks through the non-white immigration, whether it's legal or illegal. And that's why part of the destroying of our country started in 1965 with Jacob Javits, the Jew, when he orchestrated with his fellow Jews to take apart our immigration policy, which would have made sure that the demographics did not switch, because it was very pro-white and it was very limited the number of people you let into the country. So, but we got John, interesting enough, here's John in Miami, wants to say something. So, John, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good morning, Commander Dan. Good morning to all my white brothers and sisters all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Commander Dan are down here in Dade County, Miami, Florida. What he's saying about Florida down here is certainly true of Miami and Fort Lauderdale. This is really not the place to be. Now, as far as the governor is concerned, Governor DeSantis, he is a big Jew lover. And yes, he did something with going to Israel or Tel Aviv and signing some one or two of our laws over there. That's treason right there. However, since he is a lawyer, he shouldn't be in public office. His wife, I've heard a few times in some of the talk shows down here in South Florida, his wife, I believe, is Jewish. Some people have said that. Also, the lieutenant governor, who is a woman, she is also a lawyer, and if I'm not mistaken, she is Cuban extraction. I don't want women in political power. I do not want the women in our military. I'm ex-Navy. I sure didn't get along with hardly any of them in there. I don't want them in our police departments, our sheriff's departments. I don't want them not even in the fire department. But this is what you have down here in Florida right now. But Governor, President Trump came down here and campaigned for DeSantis to run for governor, not one time, but a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And besides that, again, why you don't want the enemy in your government and why the Bible tells you about it, I had a friend of mine tell me that part of the gun control effort in Florida is being headed up by this Nikki Freed, who is the agricultural commissioner. And people say, well, why is the agricultural commissioner, what's the big deal there? Because the agricultural department controls the issuance of concealed carry and things like that. So a lot of your gun control, believe it or not, comes out of the ag department of all places.
Well,
and
here,
who's
in Florida, it does. That is correct, because I have my state of Florida concealed weapons permit. I had to get it out of there. Yes, that's true. And it's still currently active. Anytime if I want to go shoot, I always take that with me because I don't want to get pulled over and then of a law enforcement officer find my gun, and then I can't produce that, because I believe that they can arrest you without it. I'm not too certain of that, but I think they can. So I just don't want any – I have that so to avoid any problems.
Well, the thing of it is, it's going to end up being we versus them. They're dividing the country, so it really – pieces of paper and plastic aren't going to make much difference in the very near future.
That is correct.
Wait a minute. I just found it. I was wondering about this Nikki Freed. Okay, here we go again. This is straight out of Tel Aviv now. Agricultural Commissioner Nikki Freed or Fried, the state's highest-ranked Democrat and first Jewish woman on the cabinet. How about that?
Oh, crap, that's the problem.
The very person leading the charge in the state of Florida to disarm us is another frickin' Jewish hag now at the state level. I mean, what are the odds? When do white people finally wake up and realize that this is not all just a coincidence, okay? These Jews are the root of the tree of evil. That's what these psychiatrists and doctors in their books are talking about. If you take away the glossing over of calling a Jew a Jew, if you just look at what they're saying, if you add up the evidence, you take the checklist of a psychopath, you look at what these people do, the root of the tree of evil in the United States and every other Western country, the root of that tree is Jews. Whether they're practicing Jews, whether they're not, whether they're atheists, whether they go to temple, whether they go to synagogue, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. They operate as the psychopaths that they are. Just as Dr. Lechesky said in his book about political ponderology, all right? They use their psychopathy to justify what they do in politics. Just like Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin in Russia didn't have a problem starving 12 million Ukrainian Christian men, women, and children. 12 million are the estimates I've read, to death. Starved them to death. It didn't bother them one bit. What what is that a sign of? Okay, these doctors will tell you. That's right in the book. That's textbook psychopath. They have no feelings for their victims. None. It didn't bother them one bit that these little children were drying up and dying of starvation, that these mothers and fathers were dying of starvation, and many of them in Russia were turning to cannibalism. Did it bother any of these misfit pieces of shit? No. It didn't. They don't have a conscience.
Well, Commander
Dan, when are our people going to wake the hell up?
Commander Dan, when Donald Trump came into public office as president, he started to talk about red flag laws. Now, we've already had that shooting here over there at that Douglas Stoneman High School over there in the county next to us in Fort Lauderdale. And now the state of Florida has that law that was signed by then Governor Rick Scott, who is now Senator Rick Scott. That's another traitor. Rick Scott is not a lawyer, but he is a traitor. That's a son of a bitch right there for you. He signed that red flag law into law down here, and I gave you a copy of that. And I've read it. I've already read it enough times that I'm telling you, I really can't go out there and say to someone that, you know, well, you know, I'm going to beat you up. Well, you know, I'd like to punch you out. Just talking like that is enough to get me arrested or get my gun taken away from me if they know or find out that I have any gun or even my ammunition. This is how bad these red flag laws are, and you can thank Donald Trump for it. And I'm convinced Donald Trump is a Trojan horse.
Well, there's a lot. That's a growing number of people feel exactly the way you do, John.
Well, look what's happening in Virginia. Look what's happening. No telling if a civil war could come start out of there or not.
Well, we're at the point where all it's going to take is a spark. I've said it for a long time, and now I'm convinced of it. We are sitting on a powder keg in this country. It's a powder keg. The rest of the world sees it, too.
And who is this governor in Virginia, the disgusting that he is? Who the hell is he to do what he's doing and wanting to take away guns and I don't know what else from people and take away their children? That guy needs to be tarred and feathered. Just talking like that is enough to scare the hell out of me. He needs to be tarred and feathered. He needs to be taken behind an alley and beat up, punched out.
Well, I know you're upset. Okay, calm down, John.
I'm tired of these traitors talking about they're going to come get our guns. I mean, I want to egg them on a little bit. Come on. If they want our guns that bad, I mean, what are they waiting for? Come get them. We're waiting. I want to egg them on. I'm looking for a fight, to be honest with you guys. I've been waiting for this for years.
We've been dying a death of 1,000 cuts, and it's making a lot of people impatient. So at least if it ignites, it ignites. And, you know, at the church in Lexington when the battle started and that ignited the American Revolution, I think it was 7 or 8 of the local farmers perished that day. The blood of tyrants and the blood of patriots nourished the tree of liberty. It comes for all of
us,
brother.
Folks. I'm just gonna say, you know, everybody knows I live in Michigan, and when that spark ignites and all hell breaks loose, all them politicians in Michigan, you better run, because I'm coming for you. I just want to go on the record of saying that, because I ain't scared. I'm not running for the hills. I'm marching right into the fire, and I'm going for them. I'll see you guys on the other side, because if everybody's running for the hills and running from the fire, I'm going for the fire. I don't give a damn.
Understood,
I've had
brother.
Enough of these people, man. We have really had to hold back from, because, you know, we really wanted this to come years ago, but we had to be patient because it wasn't the time. But I tell you, when that trumpet blows, I'm going for the enemy. Jeff, yep. I got my list.
We got Gary in San Diego joining us. Gary, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, you know, as I listened to the conversations this morning, it's very interesting. Nobody is standing up for the Second Amendment in what it says. It states in there, infringe. Can't infringe, but they're infringing. Right. How come something isn't talked about their infringing upon our right? They can't do that.
Brother,
but they're doing it.
I agree, brother. And in my opinion, when somebody like Beto gets on TV and just implies that he wants to take away our guns, we should go after him. Just for the mere fact that he openly, because that he's not exercising free speech. He's telling you he wants to infringe upon your rights. So we don't wait for them to infringe. We should act.
Hey, Randy, that brings up a good point. Years ago, when I was doing a lot of research in the common law and the founding of this country, there was something I read that said that if a person stands up, particularly a public official, and they espouse treason in a public forum, it seems to me that it said at that time there was not even a need for a trial, that person was guilty of treason. Does that ring a bell?
Because I think so, but I mean, even with the technology that we have, it's not he said, she said. We have video evidence of people like Beto, people like Dianne Feinstein, Rahm Emanuel. We've got all these people on video. We have video confessions.
Right. And not just the video, but we have two or more people. The Bible says it has to be on two or more witnesses. So video alone is not what we're talking about. Video will incriminate, but two or more physical witnesses who are willing to testify. Now, here's why that's important, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to live under Yahweh's law. That's my job. I'm telling you that, okay? Why does Yahweh allow me to come on here and say what I'm saying? My job is to tell you where we're going, whether you like it or not. Okay, now under Yahweh's law, why is it important to have two physical people stand as in testimony against the person being charged with a capital offense, which treason is? Okay, here's why. Because if you lie under oath and you cause somebody who's innocent to be put to death, you yourself will be executed. That's why it's important. Okay? Same thing for you ladies and sometimes men, but particularly you ladies that file charges of rape in order to get gain. Under God's law, a false charge of rape, which is a capital crime, means that you will be executed. For you law enforcement people and military, lying under oath and somebody is either raped, kidnapped, killed, or whatever, you will be executed for lying under oath. That's why it's important. See, people don't seem to understand that. That's because in this cacistocracy that we live in, we don't enforce Yahweh's law. And that's why we have the total chaos that we have. Think about that for just a second. How long would it take to clean up our country if we held the people lying under oath accountable for their treason, whether it's in Washington, whether it's in Tallahassee, whether it's in Lansing, okay, or at the county level? If these military, police, and politicians were being held accountable to God's law, which says that if you lie under oath in a capital case, and that includes lawyers and judges and prosecutors, you will be taken outside into the courtyard and you will be hung by the neck till you're dead. I wonder how many of them would lie after that. How many of them would have to be executed before the rest of them got the message, do you think? My money says not too many. I don't think we'll have to hang too many of them before the rest of them get the message. What do you think?
I agree.
All we have to do is enforce Yahweh's law.
Master, I was thinking of that fellow called Adam Schiff. He's a chairman of a committee, got up there and lied in front of God and everybody. You know, and I'm going, who's going to be held responsible here? Nobody's doing nothing.
Well, that's why
that's another one of them shysters right there, Adam Schiff. Oh, yeah.
Well.
He's another one of them Israelis.
Exactly. He's another one of those psychopaths. Just look in his eyes and listen to what he says. I mean, if that's not the look and the demeanor and the voice and the message of a psychopath, nothing is. You could take a picture of Adam Schiff,
too, man. All of them.
Jerry Nadler, all those kikes, including Pelosi,
yep,
who claims to be Roman Catholic. Give me a break. She's a kike through and through, and she's married to a kike.
Diane Feinstein?
All of them. All of them. They're all demonic, sociopathic, psychopathic, Satan-loving misfits, the root of the tree of evil. How much more do people have to see before they figure it out? How much more?
Praise Yahweh.
You've got evil flourishing because you're afraid to put the axe to the root of the tree, ladies and gentlemen. That's the whole problem. I'm here to tell you that. You're sitting there swatting at the branches with the roots standing there looking at you in the face. The prophet Obadiah told you this. The prophet Ezekiel told you this. The prophet Malachi told you this. And Christ himself told you this. The evil is not hard to identify. They're psychopaths. Go find the psychopaths, because I'll guarantee you every one of them has committed a capital offense. Every single one of them has committed a capital offense. Pretty soon the tree is,
you know, brothers, these,
uprooted.
The same traitors who are trying to tell us what kind of firearms we can or can't have, remember under the Obama administration how they got caught. Oh, people forget so easily. But some of us haven't forgotten. They got caught shipping weapons into Mexico. Okay, that ought to be a crime. And some of those weapons then crossed back into the United States and murdered at least one of our Border Patrol agents by the name of Brian Terry. But they're going to try to tell us what kind of guns we can or can't have. Don't forget about Brian Terry, folks. No, nobody has ever been brought to justice because of that crime.
That's right. Yep, that's right. And
what would happen if any one of us got caught shipping weapons in any foreign country? What would they do to us?
Well, because they're psychopaths, okay? Anything we do to upset the apple cart for them is, we're to be hog-tied and butchered. Let me remind the folks, too, of another Bible passage that would solve our problem. If we just were believers and doers instead of just pew setters with our asses glued to those pews and not doing anything, the Bible says that your land, and this is in the Old Testament, your land is cursed by the Father himself until innocent blood has been avenged. Okay? When's the last time that the Christian men in America or any other white nation actually avenged innocent blood being shed? When was the last time we actually saw that? I don't think I've seen it in my lifetime. All I see is good people being put in prison, good people being executed, while the psychopaths are still in charge. That's what I've seen.
And we've had somewhere upwards, I've heard of around 50 million babies butchered in this country alone and had their body parts sold for profit. Now, they can tell us how bad the Nazis were all day long, but even if those numbers were accurate, they tell us that's only 6 million. We've had more than that of babies butchered in our own country, and nobody's putting a stop to it. In fact, if you expose it, like the Center for Medical Progress did in California, they'll come after you instead of going after the baby butchers. That's
exactly
the sick system that we have today.
Which brings up another good point. What was one of the signs that we were told in the book of Luke by our Messiah, one of the signs of the psychopaths running the cacistocracy is what? Hypocrisy. Okay? So we were given the tools, and this is not complicated. Anybody can figure this out. A child can figure this out. Judge them by their fruits. One of the signs of who you're talking about that are the root of the tree of evil is that they are psychotic, and the other thing is that they are also hypocrites. And if that doesn't explain every frickin' Jew, I don't know what does. They are psychotic, they are psychopaths, and they are liars, and they are hypocrites. Period. And I don't care how many people listen to this say, well, I've got a friend, Dan, and he or she's Jewish, and I think they're just really good people. You don't know what they do in the dark, do you? You don't know what they do when you're not there. Just like when the Jews walk by a church, they don't spit on the sidewalk when you're watching. They spit on the sidewalk when they don't think you're watching. If they think you're there, of course they behave. Even the doctor in his book talks about the psychopath. The psychopath, when there's a cop standing there or there's people that might interfere, they don't do their psychotic thing. They wait till they're not going to get caught. Look at how many of these Jews, like Madeleine Albright and all that, when she was interviewed on television about 500,000 Iraqi children dying, that's 500,000 children dying in Iraq alone during our magnificent efforts over there to steal their oil. Madeleine Albright, in the camera, said, yes, this is a terrible thing, but we think it's worth it. Who's we, Madeleine Albright, you Jewish hag? Who the hell is the we that says 500,000 babies dying so that your Jew buddies can get more oil is a good thing? Who are you representing when you say that's a good thing? The Christ? All you so-called Christians out there, is Madeleine Albright talking about you? You say it's okay that 500 million Iraqi children were bombed to death by us? You agree with that? You know, Yahweh says, I'm going to hold you accountable for the innocent blood that's shed. Do you think you're exempt, America? Do you sons of bitches think you're exempt? I'm here to tell you, you're not exempt.
And we have history lessons about 6 million Jews. But what was that number again that you said? I bet we don't have any history lessons for that.
For 500,000. I'm going to tell you something. Here's another thing.
Over the 50 million babies butchered in our country, where's the history lessons for them? Nobody cares about them.
Nobody cares because the Jew doesn't care. The Jew pays his way through our society.
But 6 million Jews get gassed. Oh, boy. We got history lessons over that.
Even though that's completely a hoax. And here's how you know it's a hoax, okay? Psychopaths lie and exaggerate. All you got to do, and look, folks, go back to Haaretz, the main newspaper of It's a Lie, and it was about 2 or 3 years ago, their front page was talking about the fact that 6 million is a non-tenable number. In other words, the Jews themselves in Israel were admitting in a public newspaper that the 6 million figure was untenable. And for you people that don't know how to read and don't know how to open up a dictionary, that means it's unsubstantiated, which means it's not for real. It can't be proven by any kind of evidence or fact. That's what that's admitting to. Now, they just admitted that one time that 6 million wasn't, so they lowered the number to 4 million, which is also a lie. But the point of it is, if they lied about the first number, what on God's green earth makes you think they're not lying now? Do you people even have a brain with 4 or 5 cells in it that still operate? I got to wonder, do white people still have any kind of mental faculty about them at all anymore? It's just amazing to me. We got Henry. What?
Remember years ago on Oprah, those Jews got on the Oprah show and told this love story about the Holocaust and how they met, and the guy wrote a book about it. Turned out to be all lies, man. But he said because it was in his mind that it was okay.
That's right.
The whole story was a lie, and he wrote a book about it and made money off of it.
But you know what? Lies. That's classical psychopath. As I'm reading these books and these research papers, guess what? That's typical standard psychopathy behavior, psychopathic behavior, typical. Okay, we got Henry. Henry, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Just wanted to jump in when I heard Randy talking about the Holocaust, the Holo-hoax, I should say. I'm sure Randy realized the entire thing.
I love poking at the enemy in my own kind of way, brother.
Yeah, but there were no gassings, zero gassings. Anybody who studies the Holocaust, anybody who studies World War II at all, I mean, that, you know what, just as recent as just maybe three or four years ago, if I would talk to anybody about the Holocaust, or even World War II for that matter, I would be defensive in my tenor. Nowadays, anybody who actually believes those fairy tales, you just have to laugh at them. They're outright stupid. And that's how I don't have any time for people like that anymore. And that's one of the ways you have to expose these people with their fairy tales. And that's how they get away with this bullshit. That yep. The ultimate victims, if they weren't the ultimate victims, none of this shit would be taking place. And that's why sometimes historical perspective is super important. And you gotta be firm with it. When you're talking to somebody about something like the Holocaust, it puts everything in perspective. That's how these assholes get away with everything. These psychopaths, and that's what they are. They get away with it because of those hoaxes that they've pulled off on humanity. And that's got to be, I think the Holocaust has to be probably the biggest one.
Right. And look at that poor grandmother. She's in her 90s. It's in jail in Germany because she publicly challenged the Holocaust fake story. Yep. She's in her 90s, and she just came up for a possible early release, and they denied it. This is yep. how much of a coward these psychopaths are. They're, yep. They are so... schizophrenic and paranoid. Just a second. They're so schizophrenic and paranoid that a 90-year-old grandmother threatens them. What are they going to do with men with rifles and bayonets come after them? That shows you what kind of cowards these people are. Go ahead, Randy.
That's the problem right there that we should be concerned about. The other guy that was on the call earlier had mentioned the anti-Semitic laws and executive orders. That is the stuff we have to watch out for with the hate crime legislation, that when they start talking about hate crimes and hate speech and all this stuff, because they want to do exactly that. They just by merely talking about what we're talking about right now, if we were over in Europe, they would put us in jail for talking like this. And we cannot let that happen in our country.
Absolutely.
We're not going to let them disarm us, and we're not going to let them deny us our right to speak freely as free men.
Amen.
Yeah, battle lines are drawn.
Even if what we were saying false, they have no right to put us into prison because we have a different opinion than them. We have a right to speak as free men, and they will not stop us.
Yep.
Yeah. Amen. Ultimate hypocrisy.
Absolutely.
They
Absolutely.
Can call it hate crimes, hate speech, whatever they want. We call it telling the truth, and that's what they're afraid of. They want this gets into internet censorship, and that's all this stuff. They want to stop us because obviously we're being effective.
Yep, obviously.
Isaiah 10:1. Woe to those that establish unrighteous laws and that willfully prescribe tyranny. Who's that speaking of?
The psychopath
Jews.
Right.
You know, I knew one of the first truthers I was exposed to. This goes back about 5 years, maybe more longer than that. I'm not sure. I think he recently died. I think this year he died. Tex Mars.
Yes.
He was one of the first people I started to follow. In fact, I think he was the first one that I really. In fact, I bought one of his books. It was called "Evil Serpent of the Jews," and that was the first time in my life that when I started following some of Tex Mars' writings, and he actually had a podcast too. For the first time in my life, the realization of what these people actually are came to light. And I don't just agree with everything that Tex Mars, you know, he didn't really understand identity, but he certainly understood who the Jews were. And I have to give him a lot of credit for opening my eyes to those. I don't even call them people. I'm sorry. I like Dan, you know, you would made the distinguish. You distinguish between psychopaths and sociopaths, and supposedly 2% of our population is Jewish, and I would say probably 99% of that 2% are pure psychopaths. Would mm-hmm. you agree with that?
Yeah, but I'd say if you apply what these psychiatrists and these research doctors put in their papers, if you apply their little checklist of a standard psychopath's behavior, I dare anybody to honestly, and again, this means honestly without any kind of an agenda, take one of these research papers that I've got copies of here, that checklist, and go to somebody that you think is a good Jew and apply that checklist to their behavior. Not their words, not what they do in front of you, but you go off into a corner and watch their behavior and when there's nobody around, what do they say and do? And tell me that they don't follow that checklist.
Right. They actually learn at a very young age. They realize they're different from normal people, and they learn to adapt, and they learn to fake empathy. In my opinion, you talk about how we could solve the problem. Make everybody in the world take that test, and if they fail the test and it's determined that they're psychopaths, just for confirmation, give them an MRI of their brain, and you could confirm all the psychopaths in the world and put them on an island like Madagascar and just leave them there isolated. But, you know, I guess that's too simplistic an approach. I think isn't that what our friend from Germany tried to do in the 1930s? Originally, I think that was his plan.
Well, actually, he was actually too kind, okay, because he allowed too many Jews in the military, yet he allowed Jewish bankers to stay in business, he allowed Jewish industrialists to still stay in business. So Adolf Hitler actually was too kind.
You're right. I think you're right in saying that he was too kind, but I find it hard to find anybody that could even compare to him. When I think of the people over the last 50 or 100 years, I'm talking about, you know, political movements, people who could mobilize people. I mean, even though the point you just made is well taken, boy, I'll tell you, if we had someone like that today, boy, oh boy, would heads roll. But that's what we need. You said it many times on your broadcast that, you know, we're looking for Elijah, someone like Adolf Hitler today, in today's environment, boy, he would rise fast and get a following very quickly.
Well, here's the news I got for you. Malachi says that Elijah will be here for the last days, and Elijah, in reality, will be Adolf on steroids.
Well, okay? That'll be cool. That will be awesome.
Yeah, he will be. He'll be
Adolf on steroids would be ass-kicking great.
Yeah, because Adolf did not actually follow the law. He should not have allowed any of these aliens in his country. Now, here's the good news. Look at how well Germany responded and became so peaceful and healthy and industrious and prosperous, even though he violated the rules and allowed some of them to stay. Can you imagine what Germany would have become if Adolf had done what he was supposed to do?
Yeah, and I think even that mistake he made with the Brits in Dunkirk is another reason why they ultimately lost the law. He could have eliminated Great Britain from the war right then and there.
Again, he showed mercy when it was not called for.
Exactly.
Okay, because
during that industrial revolution that Germany had, you know, what came out of that, especially the Volkswagen, you know, the classic Beetle is the most beloved car all across the world. I've even got one. I've got a 1962. I love the thing, man. They're the greatest. That came out of the Industrial Revolution of Germany.
Yep.
Well, the very name Volkswagen is people's car.
Yep.
People's car, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. The idea was to make a cheap, dependable automobile that every person in the country could afford.
Well, I'll tell you. Yep. Dan, for all his faults, and you pointed them out, he allowed too many of them to stay, even in the military and so forth. But boy, he really—I've studied him a lot, and I've read a lot of material on him. And I'll tell you, I'm awfully impressed with what he tried to accomplish. And he had the balls that I haven't seen any leader in the world have. Putin. Putin couldn't carry his jockstrap. I'm sorry.
Well,
that's why Hitler is the most hated.
Exactly. Everything gets tied down.
Because he had the guts to stand up to him.
What's that?
Because he had the guts to stand up to him like nobody else.
Exactly. Exactly.
So naturally, you're going to be demonized for that.
Yeah, I mean, everything's upside down. So it's so simple. It's really so simple. I mean, If you're viewed by the world as the most evil dictator in the world, chances are, because this is a Jewish system, obviously you're probably the greatest person that walked the earth in the last 100 years, or tried to be anyway. because that's how backwards everything is through the Jewish system. And consequently, and reciprocally, anybody who's viewed as a great person, and I could name hundreds of names, we could go on all day with those people, the FDRs to the present day's Obamas and even the guy in the White House now, the people who are glorified are typically and always, in fact, traitors and treasonists, all of them.
Yeah, well,
so it's all upside down, and that Bible talked about that. That's how it will be.
It's no coincidence that the same problem Germany had that we're also now facing. We are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because we keep forgetting history.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we keep letting the same people get up in power when our father told us not to have these people rule over us. Germany found out the hard way. We're learning the hard way. History's going to keep repeating until we stop being stubborn and stiff-necked and take care of the enemy.
Yeah.
It's going to keep happening to us over again until we wake up and extinguish them.
Yeah. I said this before, and I can't recall what your response to it was, Dan. I'll say it one more time. As bad as it was in Germany, Hitler accomplished a lot, but he had a huge advantage over the situation we have in the United States and basically all Western nations, but actually especially the United States. We don't have an ethnostate. We don't have a pure white ethnostate like Germany had. So they had actually a big advantage. That's why we're going to need Hitler on steroids to turn this around, because we're a multicultural freaking mess.
Well, that's where our people have to realize. And again, this is a major problem in almost all of the groups that I talk to. They think we have to get everybody on our side. You're never going to get that ever accomplished. Christ didn't send the disciples out to convert everybody. What did he say do? Go tell them the truth, and if they listen, now teach them. If they don't, knock the dust off your feet and keep on going. We're looking for the 4-5% of white people that can still think, that still have some testosterone in their bodies, and still care and worship the Father. That's all. We don't care about the rest. The rest of them are cannon fodder.
Yeah.
Okay? The Jews are going to chew them up and spit them out of the other side of the grinder. All right? We can't do anything for them. It's just like in the days of Noah. Do you think Noah and his family probably shed a few tears and were sad to see some of the local people go down and under the water? Yeah. They probably had a few friends or people they played cards with or had a couple beers with or partied with or whatever. But guess what? They loved the Father more than they did those people, and they listened. But Father didn't trust them, did he? What did he do? He sealed the door of the ark. Why? Because Noah and his family might have unsealed it.
Right.
Yahweh himself closed up and sealed the door. Why? Because, like most people, we're too soft-hearted.
Yeah, and also, these silly Judeo-Christian people who think that Noah was spared because he was the only righteous person left, think again. He was the only one perfect in his generations, and that's why he was the only one spared in his family.
Right, and if that was correctly translated, they were the only ones pure of race that were left.
That's exactly it, right. But our Bible's been tampered with so badly, it's a travesty.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just it's like we talk about these psychopaths change with the meanings of words. Nation has always meant the same thing as race, always, all through history. Nation and race are synonymous. Okay, but today they'll tell you it's just a group of people, no matter what language they speak, what race they are, living in the same area. Well, that's bullshit. That's not what nation means. Nation means race.
Exactly.
If you trace it back to the Latin term that it comes from, it's all about bloodline and race.
Right.
Okay? These psychopaths want us to forget about race because they're psychopaths. That's what they do. If they know that if the white man ever becomes racially conscious, they lose their power.
Yep.
Okay? Because
What they do is they change the English language to fit whatever they want, and we follow along. But I do remember in the scriptures, there's a part that says, in the last days, because of what we're doing, I'm going to send upon you that is not a people. So I wonder who that is.
Well, it's these psychopaths.
Right.
It's these psychopaths. You know, what do people think the Bible's talking about when it says that there are plagues amongst us? Do they think it's just diseases? Race mixing is a plague.
Oh,
Zionism is a plague. Jews are a plague. These non-white invaders are a plague. Okay? They're all plagues. If you read the Bible for itself and let it interpret itself, when it defines what a plague does, every one of these fits, just like these research papers, when they define a psychopath, it fits the Jew and his mentality perfectly. Well, so does the words plague, okay? All of these things, the race mixing, the transgenderism, the pedophilia, the sex slave trade, the cannibalism, the pedivores, all of that stuff is a plague because you violated his law.
Yep.
If you upheld God's law, the plagues would disappear, just like Phineas. What did Phineas do? He ended the plague. Okay? Does it say Phineas went in with an injection of vaccine and he vaccinated all the Israelites? No. He put a spear down through the prince and his little whore that he was banging. That's what Phineas actually did. He didn't go in and offer him a vaccine.
Yep.
So what kind of plague?
From a spear.
That's right. So he ended the plague.
I asked a woman that had some black kids, and she was, of course, not happy with what I had to say, and she was calling me some names. But I asked her,
Gary.
You know.
Oh, boy.
Go, Gary.
I asked her, you have a white gene pool. She was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. I said, so this is what you have. And if you continue on with, you know, being right with God, you would have kids that look like you. I says, that's natural. Wouldn't you say that? She said, yes. I says, to have kids that look like you. Of course, she's thinking because they got two arms and two legs and they speak. But anyway, so then I says, then here's a black guy. And I ran the same thing on her. I says, so when he has children, they should look like him. Am I correct? She said, yes. So then I said, but when you and this black guy get together and you have children that don't look like either one of you, I says, is that something that God made or you guys made? She didn't have an answer to that question because when I set it up in the first place, I told her, you know, that was godly. God made you to have this. And I told her, and God made him to have this. And then all of a sudden, when you guys get together and you have this, who made that?
That right.
Well, God. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
God didn't make that.
That's a good point.
So, you know, you guys did, not God. You guys took upon yourselves to be God. Now you created that, and you're creating a problem, and you're creating what the Bible calls confusion.
That's why when the ark was sealed, people like that, there was no compassion for them. They just had to go.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was like so many other naive Christians earlier in my life, through the brainwashing of the whitewashed sepulchres. And I used to read those stories in the Old Testament about how Yahweh would command Israel to, you know, just absolutely devastate and destroy and wipe out an entire group of people, man, woman, and child. And I, like all the other fools, used to think, oh, that it's a good thing I'm a New Testament Christian because, oh, that's such an evil thing to do. Good thing God changed. Well, it's so obvious why he commanded Israel to do that now for their to keep the purity. And to not destroy your own people. That's what happens with race mixing. It's insidious.
Right.
And it's so clear when you understand identity and you understand this plan and this, the entire Bible is about his people, our race. It's not written for all the other peoples of the earth. They're not his creation, like Gary was just saying. They're not. The original race mixer was Eve with Satan, and then it's been happening ever since, and we just don't get it, and it's very unfortunate.
That's why in the old days the race mixed like that was called monsters, okay? Because you created something that was not supposed to be come into being, okay? And that's why if you read Charles Weissman's book, Anthology of Racial Issues, as long as you keep an open mind while you're reading it, the scientific papers that he cites in the book all talk about the identifiable birth defects and problems that come with race-mixed people. Okay?
Oh,
it's
sure.
Mental illness, it's schizophrenia, it's paranoia, it's depression, it's lacking the ability to associate with one or the other race. I know this personally from people that I worked with in Pennsylvania that had race-mixed children, and they were teenagers at the time, and they fit that profile exactly.
Yep.
They were always depressed. They even told their parents one time, "I don't know where I belong. I'm not this and I'm not that. Where do I go?" There was also a thing called racial consciousness, is what they talked about that. And Pavlov, we always talk about Pavlov's dogs, but Pavlov also had another theory. And his theory was that when you mixed races, they shared racial memory. Racial consciousness. So if it was a black and a white, they would have a mixed racial memory of these two cultures. What he found out was when he actually interviewed the people and did the testing, he found out that the children of the mixed couple had zero racial memory.
Ah.
They did not have a combined racial memory.
They had
zero racial memory. So that's why they have the mental problems, schizophrenia, depression, all that, because they don't feel an affinity to anybody because they know they don't belong and again, my heart goes out to them, but it's the sin of the fathers is visited upon the children. That's what it says in Scripture. That's what it's talking about.
You don't even have to, and you don't even have to read the Bible to understand this. This is the natural order. The animal kingdom knows this.
The plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, all the kingdoms know it.
What the hell is the matter with people?
It's cognitive dissonance.
Absolutely.
Okay? This is classical cognitive dissonance. They are ignoring the empirical evidence that's staring them in the face.
Right, and it's true on in almost anything you talk about today. Cognitive dissonance, you know something is so wrong, but I've been taught this, and I don't know what to do, so I'll just tell me what to think.
Henry,
they don't care about their own children, but they got that $800 purebred German Shepherd with papers, don't they?
Right, yeah. Right. Good point, Randy.
They
care more about their bloodline of their own animals than their children, man. I'm serious.
That's a point.
It is a sickness. And here's another perfect example of cognitive dissonance, Donald Trump.
Ugh.
Okay? In spite of the fact that he has not revealed 9/11 truth or the Las Vegas shooting or the criminality of the red flag laws or put any of these bastards in Washington or the Pentagon that have committed treason on trial for treason and executed them the way he should. Okay, in spite of the fact he's done none of that, you got all these people around thinking he's going to be the white knight, going to save America. Cognitive dissonance. You're not looking at what's going on. The guy goes to Israel wearing a yarmulke. He's got a daughter married to a Mossad agent. He's got Jewish children. and grandchildren, okay? He's proud of. He can't do enough for the Jew, okay? So all of this kabuki theater is to make you think that the world hates Donald Trump, that the Jews and all these Democrats hate Donald Trump. Behind closed doors, they're all down at the synagogue raising glasses of wine to celebrate the fact that we pulled it off again. We got the Patriots to put their rifles back up in the cabinet. We got the motorcycle guys and the Legion guys to actually to sit back because they were ready to revolt back in 2016. We were close to a revolution starting then. We got the militia guys to all sit, go stand down. Okay? Yep. They're laughing at the synagogue every single day at the white people and how stupid they are.
They absolutely are. Your earlier guest who left made that same point, and I was in total agreement. It's so many of the Trump supporters are just so damn stupid.
They have cognitive dissonance. They don't. They want so badly to have a savior instead of the real savior. They want a physical savior that will allow them to go back to watching their television, eating their popcorn, watching their movies, playing their sports, engaged in illicit sex, reading their pornography, anything that allows them to keep on doing what they've been doing and not have to get off their ass.
You know, and you know what Yahweh's going to say to those people when they stand before him? Depart from me, I never knew you.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's what's coming. Like he said in Scripture, there are those who think they'll be first, and they'll be at the end of the line. But the people at the end of the line will actually be up front. Okay? Yep. Just like Randy said, we're ready for a fight. We didn't ask for this fight, but I've been ready for this fight for a very long time. I don't want to die. Don't get me wrong. I've got grandchildren. I'd love to see them become something or whatever, but I'm also not afraid of it. Okay?
Yep.
This fight has been brought to us. We did not ask for it, but we sure as hell will finish it. All right? I like what Blackpilled put on his YouTube channel when he said, when non-white men get angry, they burn a few buildings. When white men get pissed off, they burn down empires. Well, we have an empire of evil that is subjugating this entire world to their psychotic behavior. I think it's time to put the axe to the root of the tree. That's what I'm advocating. Let's put the axe to the root of this tree and cut the son of a bitch down and get rid of it. Put it in the fire where it belongs, just like Obadiah predicts. All it's going to take is the men of Yahweh to stand up and be manifested. That's all the book says. The whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. Angel just put up here Luke 22:36. I don't have it in front of me if somebody wants to look it up. Luke 22:36. I'm not sure.
That's all for you guys.
What's that?
Because I give no politician a free pass, I just want to say this. Remember during the debates, when Trump and Hillary were going at it, she had said something. He said, well, you know, if I was in charge, you would be in jail. Well, is she in jail? It's been three years.
Yeah. It's all bullshit. It's all kabuki theater.
Yep.
Okay, Luke 22:36 is, then he, Yeshua, said to them, but now whoever has a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. Whoever has none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. We're to be armed, and we're to know the ways of war and weapons of war. That's not a suggestion. That is a commandment. And again, for all you pansies and you snowflakes out there that think you're serving the living God with your pacifism and your snowflake attitudes and your little man buns on your head, I'm going to tell you something. You're at the end of the line. You're the guys he's going to walk up to and go, get away from me. You disgust me, you lukewarm piece of dog shit, all right? You didn't do a damn thing to fix this world. You sat there with your smug little piousness thinking that somehow that serves me. If you serve me, you would occupy like I told you to do. I told you to occupy this earth. I put Adam here to occupy this earth and to tend, which means to care for, my garden. I gave you this beautiful earth, this absolute paradise, and you've let these psychopaths turn it into a cesspool. And you think that I respect you? I detest you. I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's what he says to these people. So when you get these little pious little dog, these little pansies out here waving their Bible and going, oh, you're a hater. He wants to love everybody. Well, just picture them at the end of the line, and when the Christ walks up to them, that's what he's going to say to them, okay? Just picture that while that little mealy-mouthed piece of dog meat, whether it's a preacher or an elder or a person in the choir or a pew setter, they're all in the same group. They're all going to be lumped together with the wolves and the tares for the burning at the end, because he said, nothing that offends me will come into my kingdom. And guess what, folks? When you vomit something out of your mouth, it's offensive. So you lukewarm pieces of dog meat out there, this is what your end is going to be. Some of us, like Randy and myself, may go by the sword. We might fall in this fight. Yeah, that could happen. But at least on the day of judgment, I'll stand in front of him and I'll have my shoulder next to Randy's, and we'll stand there and we'll hear, come enter in, my good and faithful servant. That's what our reward is. That's the best reward you could ever have. While you're going to hear, I'm going to vomit you out, you piece of meat. You didn't do a damn thing to fix this problem, except sit there in that pew acting like you're some kind of pious little asshole when all these babies are dying, these innocent people are in prison, that grandmother's in jail in Germany. Shame on you Germans. I'm ashamed that I got Germanic blood in my body. You're letting a 90-some-year-old grandmother rot away in a jail because some kike in your country's offended that she might tell the truth? Get off your German asses and become Germans again. Time is running out. Even Headlines with a Voice. Nancy Morgan Hart said it last night. Hagman has been talking about it. Steve Quayle's been talking about it. Common Sense Show, SGT Report, Dave Davidmere, Greg Hunter, all of them are saying the same things. That sheriff, or not sheriff, but that U.S. Marshal in Virginia, they're all saying the same thing. This is the end, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have any more time. We're at the end of this whole scenario. There is no a decade from now. You're at it right now. This is when Father's taking an account of who's going to get to come over. And I'm going to have to go here shortly. I have another call to get on. So I'm going to have to wrap it up here in about 5 minutes. Henry somehow got dropped off there. Henry, did you have any closing comments?
Nope. Oh, yeah, I cut myself off earlier. Okay, so you're closing it up? All right. I'll just say... quote from the Declaration of Independence, the government ever becomes destructive, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Death before dishonor.
Death before dishonor. Amen. Very good, Henry. Yahweh bless you, buddy. Keep up the good fight.
Yahweh bless.
Gary, final comments. Any final comments, Gary?
Talking to me, Pastor?
No, I was trying to get Gary, but apparently he's already gone. So, Randy, it's your turn.
Oh, yeah, my apologies. Well, folks, these are the times that we've all waited for. I mean, we've been trying to wake people up to this point, and this is the day we've all looked forward to. We certainly didn't ask for it, but this is why we're here. We have a mission to do on this earth, folks, and we've got a mess to clean up. Don't fall for the propaganda. Keep them weapons nearby. Never surrender. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh, Randy. Take care, buddy. Yahweh bless your heart. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's well said. Never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever surrender your firearms. I want to read the nine noble virtues that was sent to me. These are based on the virtues found in historic Norse and Germanic paganism. However, they're very biblical, and they come from the poetic Edda. And it follows. These are nine noble virtues of the white Aryan warrior. Number one, courage. I face my fear and defend my family and my kindred or tribe from all dangers. Discipline. I do what is necessary and right of my own accord without bribe or threat. Fidelity. I am true to my family, friends, my kindred or tribe, and those to whom I pledge service. Honor. I stand by my oaths and honor my ancestors by keeping my name pure among the kindred or tribe. Hospitality. I share hearth, food, and drink with my friends, my kindred, and the weary traveler at my door. Industrious, I take joy in labor and hold nothing back from the work I pledge to do. Perseverance, I press on against all odds until my goal is met. The task is finished, and I have done all I have said I will do. Self-reliance, I learn skills and grow strong so that I may earn my way in the world and be no burden to others. And finally, truth. I seek the truth even when it may be a hard truth. I speak true words or stand in silence, and I defend the truth from those who do not honor it. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the speakers and guests that have been here. We thank you for the knowledge that you impart upon your servants, that it might be given to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. We ask that you would put the spirit of the warrior in that group of men that you have selected to become the Ezekiel 37 army of the final days. We pray for Malachi 4 and the coming of the wicked being put down in this poor world to be relieved of the travail that is found to be under. We ask that the warriors be watched over by you, Father, that the hedge of protection and angels would stand around them, that you give them stiff backbones, courage, and good discernment, that you give them clear vision to see which direction to go and what to say and do at any given moment. We also ask that as individuals you would forgive us our sins and shortcomings and walk with us, give us guidance, pour your Holy Spirit upon us, wash us anew every single morning, purify us from all dross that might be within us, and have us be new men and women, new creatures in you, that we would stand for truth, justice, and honesty the way a true Aryan Israelite is supposed to be. And may we find these psychopaths that have ruined this world, and may we cut this root of this tree down and send it into the fire where it belongs. And we pray for your coming to be soon, that you and you alone sit upon the throne that was meant for you from the beginning, that you rule over us as our king, and as our lawgiver, and as our judge. We ask and pray all these things in the name of the one and only true God, Yahweh El Shaddai. Hallelujah.